Okay, we're beginning the Gemara here in Kitni. Rabbi Yochanan, my dechsev. People should feel free to excuse themselves whenever they're ready. But we hope to go through all the Gemara and see how late that takes us. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, my dechsev. What does it mean? Asher Adam Mefata Tamid. What does it mean when it says Asher Adam Mefata Tamid? Umak Shalibu Yipaburu. Okay, so that's going on the last Gemara. Now it begins the sugyas of the Purba. On Kamsa Bar Kamsa Far Yushalayim. The Gemara tells us on the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, as we'll see in a few minutes. That is the reason why Yushalayim was destroyed. At Tanagola, Tanagola Far Tur Malka, because of the story of two chickens, the city of Tur Malka was destroyed, as we'll see also in a few minutes. Asaka Durispak Far Beitar, because of the side of a wagon, the city of Beitar was destroyed. So let's go through each one of these stories, and we'll understand exactly what the Gemara is referring to. Hopefully we'll make a couple of small errors along the way, but basically we're trying just to get pashat shot in these Gemaras and understand the severity of the Churban in all these different generations that the Gemara is describing. Story number one that the Gemara shares with us is our Kamsa Bar Kamsa Far Yerushalayim. The story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa Yerushalayim was destroyed. Who gabra the Rachamei Kamsa Bar Devavei Bar Kamsa. There was one individual who had a friend by the name of Kamsa, while Devavei, the person who he did not like at all, was by the name of Bar Kamsa. Abba Tzudasa, this individual made a meal. Amalei l'shamei, so he tells his servant, Zil Aisili Kamsa, I want you to go ahead and give an invitation to my friend by the name of Kamsa. Azal Aisili Bar Kamsa, by mistake, the messenger invited Bar Kamsa instead of Kamsa. He mixed it up. Azal Ashkafei Dabi Yosef, so the Balabas comes to the meal, comes to the fancy party, and he sees that his enemy, in fact the enemy who he never liked, is sitting there by the meal. Amalei Nifti. I don't understand what you're doing here. You are not my friend, you are my enemy. My boy Safa. What are you doing by the fancy meal that I put together? Kum Puk, and he throws him out of the party. Amarlei, so Bar Kamsa is a little bit embarrassed. So he says, Hol Ba Asoi, once I already slept out here and I came to your house to enjoy the meal, Shabkum, at least allow me to stay, but give me love to me, Mada Filna Mishasina. Allow me at least to eat by the meal, and don't worry, you won't lose any money on me. I'm going to allow you to. I'm going to pay for everything I eat. Amarlei, not yet. Amarlei does. So he says, no, I don't allow you to eat and pay for the food. Amarlei, I didn't allow to make pagavu sudasa. Not only will I pay for the food that I eat, I will pay for half of the food that is eaten by all of the guests who are present at this meal. Amarlei lo. So he says, no, I don't agree to that either. Amarlei, I didn't allow to make pagavu sudasa. He says, in fact, I will give you the money for the entire Suda. I'm not just going to give you for myself, I'm not just going to give you for half of the people eating here, I will myself pay for all the people who are present at the meal. Amarlei lo, so he says, no, I do not agree to such conditions. Not that the other look may be. He picks him up, throws him out of the house. Interestingly enough, in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, Siman Kuf Nun Gimel, in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, Shulchan Aruch says, what's the din if a person gives his house on loan to a shul to be used as a Beis HaKnesses? The person has an extra home, and he gives it to the Beis HaKnesses. And now, he has a fight with one of the Balabatim in the shul. He's not the Rav, he's just one of the Balabatim who had given his house previously to the shul, but now he gets in a fight with one of the Balabatim, and he doesn't want to allow that Balabas to come to the shul. So what's the halacha? He wants the shul to continue to use his home, but he doesn't want this one Balabas to use it. So he says, I don't allow this person to use my house. I would like the shul to continue, but he is not allowed to enter. So the Mishavir writes over there that, I mean, the Shulchan Aruch says it's usher for a person to do such a thing, and even if he goes ahead and he ushers one of the individuals from coming into the shul, that is not binding. The person is still allowed to come in. Says the Mishavir, the makar of that is from our Gemara, because over here he just tried to single out one individual person from the entire meal, and we see that the Chachamim assume that that's what caused the Churban. So too, if a person gives his home for a bar mitzvah, the person gives his home for a Beis HaKnesses, one does not have the right to asur it on one individual person. Everybody has the right to use it. Amar. Back in the story, four lines from the top. Amar. So the individual who was making this party said, I'm sorry. So Bar Kamsa says, since he threw me out and he embarrassed me in public, since all the Chacham were at this party, nobody stood up for me. I see that the Chacham were okay with such behavior, with embarrassing the individual in public and allowing him to throw me out. Let me go ahead and tell some Lashon Hara to the Melech, to the non-Jewish king, about the Jews in order to get back the Chachamim for not sticking up for my covenant. Azel, so he comes to the Melech, Amarlei, and he tells him, the Caesar, the Caesar at the time, and he tells him, Mar Libach Yudai, I want you to know that the Jews are no longer loyal to you. The Jews have have rebelled. Amalei mi yemar, how do you know this is true? Amalei, let's test it out. Let's figure out a way that we're going to test out the Jews to see if they actually trust the Caesar or not. Azal shadar b'yadei igla tilsa, so he sends with the Caesar, sends with Bar Kamsa a igla tilsa, a nice fat cow, to be brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach. Mahadei dekasi, on the way from the Caesar's home to the Beis HaMikdash, so Bar Kamsa goes ahead, shadar b'yuma b'niv sifasayim. He goes ahead and he puts a mum in the nibs pasayim, which means on the outskirts of the lips of the animal. The Amrilei, and some say that Bar Kamsa made it mum bedukin shaba'ayim. He made a little nick in the eye, the cataract of the animal, and that would pasul it as a carbon. Dufta d'dan habimuma, he put them in a place where, according to halacha, according to the Gemaras, this would be considered a mum and would not be fit to be brought onto the mizbeach. And the tutu la mumahu, obviously the non-Jews also recognize there's such a thing as an animal called a balmum. But those animals are only, if let's say it's missing an arm, it's missing a leg. But over here, he just made a small nick in the eye, and he made a small nick in the svasayim. So he knew that the kahanim and the Beis HaMikdash would not allow this to be broken. Pnei Menachem points out that Haile Gigar Rebbe, he writes that this is not just by coincidence that Bar Kamsa chose to make a mum either in the eye or in the lips. He did it because that was the avon of the dark. This was the generation was faulty in the avon of Lashon Hara and Sarasayim. Everybody was always looking over their shoulder and trying to figure out what other people are doing, where they're holding, what mitzvahs they're keeping, what others are doing. So he says, because this was the mum of the generation, this was the terrible thing that society was plagued with, so therefore the Pnei Menachem explains, this is why it was sort of a remez to that Bar Kamsa decides to make a mum either in the lips or in the eyes. So the Gemara says, so Bar Kamsa brings ahead this carbon, and Bar Kamsa brings ahead this carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, and obviously the Kohanim, on face value, the Kohanim say one is not allowed to be mounted for such a carbon, and it has a mum. Savar Abam Lekuvet, so the Chacham thought, maybe, even though it has a mum, and we know the halacha is, you're not allowed to be mounted with a mum on the Mizbeach, so the Chacham thought, maybe you should still be mounted with the carbon, Mishum Shalom Malchus. The Magen Avraham points out in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim that it would seem from here that one, for Shalom Malchus, if one is concerned that the Melech is going to be angry and kill people, one is allowed to be over even an Issa D'Oraisa. In fact, there's an Issa D'Oraisa to be makar a Baal Mum in the Mizbeach. So what hetter did they have? What was the Havamin over here to assume that the Chachamim should allow the Baal Mum to be brought in the Mizbeach? So you see from here, the Magen Avraham writes that if one is seriously concerned that there's an issue of Shalom Malchus, that the Melech is going to be upset about something, so one even has the right to violate an Issa D'Oraisa. It's a big chiddush. So the Chachamim over here thought maybe they should violate the Issa D'Oraisa to be makar a Baal Mum in the Mizbeach. And they should go ahead and bring the carbon. Amar Lehur is Chayav ben Avkulos. So Chayav ben Avkulos is one of the Chachamim who was there in the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, no, we cannot allow this carbon to be brought. Why? Because people are going to make a mistake and say, Yomru Balimum and Kraven the Gamim is bad. One might mistakenly think, because they see it done in the Beis HaMikdash, and not everybody always understands the reasons why we do things. If we do something that looks a little bit questionable, people are going to walk away and think that you're allowed to bring a Balimum as a carbon on the Mizbeach. So they thought, you know what? We're not going to bring the carbon as a carbon because it's a Baal Mum, but let's at least kill Bar Kamsa in order that he shouldn't be able to go back to Lodez of Lema, in order that he shouldn't be able to go back to the Caesar and report that we didn't bring the carbon that the Caesar had sent to Yerushalayim. Amar Lehur B'Chayav ben Avkulos, or B'Chayav ben Avkulos responds to them, Yomer Matam Lo B'Kachem Yiharik. People are going to mistakenly think that a person who brings a carbon, which is a Baal Mum, should be killed. People are going to think that he deserves a death penalty. That's in fact not the case. The only reason they wanted to kill him is because he's setting up a situation here where they're going to get in trouble. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says about the story, it's nice to be an anav. It's nice sometimes to understand that you shouldn't be a Baal Gaila, but he says in this context it was actually inappropriate. Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulos should have recognized that there was a situation which called for his gaiva, which called for him to step up to the plate, understand the gravity of the situation. But because he acted like an adam, in this case, a chriba as beisenu, that very action is what destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, v'sarfa sechalena v'yuseinu me'artseinu. This is what threw us into the galos for all the years and for all the generations, because Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulos did not understand that this was the time for him to step up and say clearly that we should actually kill Bar Kamsa, or we should allow the Baal Mum to be brought on the Mizbeach. Shadar ilavayu l'Niran Kesar. So then, they send this message to Niran Kesar, and Bar Kamsa wants to tell Niran Kesar as well that he should that the Jews don't like him. Ki ka'asi shadar gira l'Nizrak. So when Niran Kesar comes ahead and tries to destroy Yerushalayim, so he throws, before he goes to attack Yerushalayim, he throws a gira, means an arrow, the Mizrak, he throws it towards the east. Asanot of Yerushalayim. And the arrow goes toward the direction of Yerushalayim. Lemayer, then he throws an arrow to the west. Asanot of Yerushalayim. Also, it landed in the same direction as Yerushalayim. Abru of Shemayim. Nir and Kesar are sitting there and throwing arrows left, right, and center all over the place. Asanot of Yerushalayim. Every arrow that he threw fell in the direction of Yerushalayim. Amrle the Yanuka. So he passes by a young Jewish child and he asks him, Soku Tsukefa. This was a custom in the times of the Gemara when a person wasn't sure what to do. A person wasn't sure what the outcome of the particular situation would be. He would ask the child to go ahead and look. He would ask him, what pasuk are you reading? And that would sort of serve as a siman if a person sees some sort of remez in that pasuk to the activity or the action they was about to do. I think nowadays there are many chassidim that do the same thing. They'll open up a sefer. I think the Lubavitcher this minute, they'll open up a sefer and they will show that based on whatever page they happen to open to, it's not just stam, it's not just by mistake that it happens, it's not a hazard. We assume that it's some real significance that's based in that. Amar Lev and Asafi is Nikmasi to Edom Yadam Yisro. So the young child tells Nir and Kesar, well, the pasuk I'm up to now says, and Asafi is Nikmasi to Edom, a Kondrochu promises that he will take Nikama on Edom Yadam Yisro because they killed the Jewish people, my people, Klal Yisro. Amar, so Nir and Kesar gets scared off by this pasuk and he says, Kutchabitu by the Prube Base, the Ramshal wants to destroy Klal Yisro, he wants to destroy the base. Hamikdash, by the Puri Yadiba, who Gavar, Hashem wants to wash off his hands. With me, with Nir and Kesar, he wants that I should do all the dirty work. So he got scared up. Azel, Arak, so he gets up. The Azel, the guy, he runs away and he goes, Begari, Benafik, Binei, Rameir. Later on in future generations, Rameir is somebody who came from this year, Nir and Kesar. Shadre, Ilavayilas, Besanus, Kesar. So then, the Major Caesar decides he's going to send a new messenger to go and destroy Yerushalayim by the name of Aspasinus Caesar, who's better known to us as Vespasian. Asatarlay Plasni. So Vespasian goes ahead and he makes a siege on Yerushalayim for 3 years. Havagu Hamid Plus Al Siri. There were three wealthy individuals in the town of Yerushalayim. One of them was by the name of Machilan Ben Gurion, one of them was by the name of Pavel Sabua, one of them was by the name of Ben Sitzis Hakesis. So, individual number one, Nakdimon Ben Gurion, why was he called Nakdimon Ben Gurion? So the Gemara tells us, Shenakdilo Thamu Ba'abur. The Gemara says in Finest Happy Test that one time Nakdimon Ben Gurion borrowed money from somebody and he had till the nightfall to pay it back, and he in fact didn't have the money to pay back. So the Gemara tells us there in Finest Happy Test that the son stayed for him and the son did not set that night in order that he should have a few more minutes, a few more hours to pay back his loan, to accumulate the money to pay back the loan. So therefore, his name was Nakdimon Ben Gurion. Ben Kabbas Sabua, why was his name Ben Kabbas Sabua? Shekhal Nitmas, the basic issue, Rav Kekelev, anybody who entered his house at a time when he was hungry, like a dog, anybody who was hungry for food, Yotzi Kishu Sabea. Kabbas Sabua was such a person who was welcoming to everybody who came into his house, so therefore they called him Kabbas Sabua because he walked out of the house Sabea. It says in Bereishis Rabba, the Medrash tells us in Bereishis Rabba that in Megillas Yuchsin it says that the great-grandchild of Kali ben Yefuneh was this individual called Kalva Sabua. It's an interesting ha'ar that the Bereishis Rabba writes, but based on that, the Imrayemes points out that it would turn out from this Gemara that the name Kalva Sabua, his name Kalva was because he was from the family of Kali ben Yefuneh, and Sabua is because anybody who left his house was Sabea, was full. It's an interesting ha'ar that the Imrayemes points out here. Then the third individual who was wealthy living in Yerushalayim at the time was by the name of Ben Sitzis Hakesis. Why was his name Ben Sitzis Hakesis? Shoyesa Tzitziso Negreros Agabik Sosis. Because his tzitzis, his talus strings, used to drag on top of the red carpets. The Beis Yosef writes in Arachayim and Endus Siman Yud, Hilchos Tzitzis, that if a person has the long begadim that come from Mitzrayim, he calls it, which means a person has a long coat which drags on the floor, so the Beis Yosef writes, one does not have to put tzitzis on it. Why? Because it says, Derachayu Derachanayim, and that's not nice for a person to put tzitzis on a beggar that he knows is going to be dragging around the streets as he's walking everywhere he goes. The Darkei Moshe over there, the Ramah, points out that he disagrees with the Beis Yosef, and he says, you see from our Gemara, that if one wears a baguette that has tzitzis that drag on the floor, it is mechuyev in tzitzis, because over here the Gemara calls him ben tzitzis hakeses because his tzitzis used to drag on the floor. So in Halach and Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kafal and Arachayim, we are told yizar shalu yigur tzitzisov al gabei hakarka. The Shulchan Aruch tells us one should be careful when he wears tzitzis. If it's a normal baguette, he should be very careful that he doesn't have the tzitzis strings dragging on the floor. Be it as it may, the Gemara tells us over here his name was ben tzitzis hakeses. And the first reason why he was called that is because his tzitzis used to drag on the floors. Igdami, another pshat in the Gemara, why his name was Ben Tzitzis HaKeseh, Shehoyser Kisto, Mutelis Magdoli Romi. He was a very affluent person, and he always was a big politician, and he used to have a chair in the government, in the Roman government. He would sit there and vote on all the different political votings. Chad, so one of these three individuals, so here again, we have Yerushalayim is under siege for 3 years, so these three individuals decided they're going to take on the whole Yerushalayim, on their shoulders, and they're going to support everybody. Chad Amar Lehu once said to the population, Yerushalayim, I will give everybody chikim, v'seorim, I will give them wheat and barley, and with this they'll be able to live. Chad Amar, one of the three wealthy individuals, said, v'dechamer u'v'demilcho u'v'demishcha, I will give wine, salt, and oil. Chad Amar v'detzivi, and one of the three individuals said, I will provide the wood for the whole Yerushalayim. The Rabbanon said, when you look at these three individuals who decided to support the Holy Yerushalayim, the one who was most worthwhile was the person who gave the wood. Why? Because wood can actually support and sustain a society a lot more than some of these other things could do on their own. The Rav Chisda Kalaklidi had a muscle of the Shammai. Rav Chisda, the Gemara says parenthetically, that Rav Chisda used to give all the keys for his storage houses to his shamash, to his gabay, garment that's easy, except for the keys to the storage house of the wood, because the wood was a very rare commodity, it was something that everybody needed at all times, so therefore the Gemara says that people were very careful with their storage houses of wood. For one storage house of wheat, a person needs 60 storage houses of wood, because you need wood to burn the fires, to bake the bread, and to make everything you want to make, so therefore the Gemara tells us that the third of the wealthy people who decided to give the wood was most praiseworthy. So here we have these three individuals sustaining Yerushalayim. Havaluhu, they had so much wood, oil, salt, and wine, and bread, and barley, and wheat. Havaluhu, the Mezon Esem Echad Shatra. The Gemara says they were able to support and sustain the whole Yerushalayim for 21 years. However, the problem was, Havaluhu Hanu Bar Yoni, there was a small minority, a group of zealots. Bar Yonim are a bunch of Kanaim. Amr the Rabbanon, and over here was misplaced kanas. Over here was not something that, like Maisa Pinchas, the factor of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out beautifully in the Amos Yaakov on Chumash. He says, why is it that nowadays we all make fun of a kanai? We laugh at a kanai. A person who does something that's very kanai, we laugh at him. In the times of the Chumash, Pinchas takes a vayikach romach biyado, Pinchas takes a stick and he goes and he kills somebody, and we give him the biggest praise. He gets a big star for it. What's the reason for that? So Yaakov Kamenetsky points out that the reason why is because, what does it say over there? Pinchas sees the terrible thing that happened, and he goes back to his home, and he gets a sword. But over here he says, Bezman Hazeh, the Kanar are waiting in the streets with a sword. They're waiting to start a fight. They're waiting to look. They're looking all over the place. This is what they're living for. So the Gemara tells us over here as well, they had a certain generation of Kanarim that were living at the time who were inappropriately being Kanaim, and they were not really understanding of the gravity of the situation of what was going on in Yerushalayim. So these Kanaim, Amr Rabbanon, Nezik ben Eved Shammu v'Hadayit, and Chacham of the generation thought, let's go around and make some sort of peace treaty between ourselves and the Romans. But these group of Kanaim said, no, we're fighters, we're going to fight it through, we're not going to allow them to lay siege on Yerushalayim, we're going to make this war actually happen. We're going to confront the enemy. Lo Shavkidim, so they did not allow the Chacham to go ahead and make peace with the Roman government. Amr Lehu, Nefut ben Abakir of Adayu, they said, the Baryonim, the Zealots said, let's go ahead and make a fight, let's make a war. Amr Lehu, Rabban Lamastayim, listen, what do you mean? You're not going to be able to fight such a war, you're not going to win. Kamu Kalinu Lahanga Ambari Gechiti Visari Gahabi Kafa. So these wise guys, these zealots, these baryonim went ahead and burned down the storage houses of wheat and barley in order that Yerushalayim would simply die from starvation. And then people would have no choice but to go ahead and fight the enemy. So this is the state that Klal Yisrael finds themselves in at this point. And now the Gemara is telling us some terrible stories about what happened as a result of these zealots, of this group of Mishagayim who decided to burn down the storage houses. Marsha Bas Baisus, Asirasa Yerushalayim Habayim. There was a woman by the name of Marsha Bas Baisus, who was one of the wealthiest women in Yerushalayim. Marsha Bas Baisus, Asirasa Yerushalayim Habayim. She was one of the wealthy women in Yerushalayim. Habishadrasa Vishlucha, so she was sending out her servant to go ahead and get her bread. Amar Lei, so she said to her servant, Zil Aisidi Smida, I want you to go ahead and buy me fine flour. Adaaza, by the time he got to the marketplace, Izdavin, it was all sold out already. Why? Because people realized that the storage houses were burned down, so everybody was quickly buying up anything they could find in the market. Asar Amar Lelu, so the servant comes back and he says, Smida Lika, there is no more fine flour, but Chiyur Taika, there is some white flour. Amr Leisa, she says to him, go run to the market, Zil Haisabi, go buy some of the white flour. On the other, when he got there, his davening was also there already. So this Shamish was not such a smart guy. He should have just bought whatever he could, but he didn't understand to do that. Also, so he comes back home to Amr Leisa, and he tells the master of Masha Bas Maisis, Chiyurta Leika, there's no white flour left anymore. Gushkara Ika, there's some coarse bread still being sold in the market. Amr Leisa, Zil Haisabi, so I want you to at least bring me this coarse bread. Bring me something, I'm starving. And the also, by the time he went to the market, obviously it was sold out, it was Davin. Also, so he comes back, but Amr Leisa, he tells his master, Marzav Asbaisus, Gushkara Leika, there is no more coarse bread, but Kincha the Sari Ika, there is barley bread. Amr Leisa, Zil Haisabi, I want you to go to the market and buy it for me. And the also, by the time he got there, his Davin was sold out, Habashti from the Sana. So she's putting on her shoes and she says, Amr Ifik the Efsi, Mishkakra Midil Mechel, obviously my servant is not doing such a good job. I better go out on my own and find something to eat in the market by myself. Esav lay part of the kari in Mesa. So the Gemara says that she stepped on, as she was putting on her shoes, she stepped on the excrement of a dog, and it got on her foot, and she died because she was a mefunekes. She was very, generally a very clean person. She was very careful with her hygiene. And over here, all of a sudden, she's in such a bare state, and she steps on something that she wouldn't have wanted to step on, and she died from that. Karle Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, harakabachal, the weak person, ha'aduga asher lo natsa kafrana. Ikadamri, some say that she didn't die from stepping on something that was disgusting. Grogos der abtzadik achla, the istaniso mesa. She was so desperate, she went out to the marketplace, and she found a dried up date from Rav Tzadok, as we'll see in a minute what exactly that means. What are the dates of Rav Tzadok? Bistanisa, and she became so disgusted, so nauseous from it, umesa, she died from that. What is that story? Der abtzadik yasar arban shnin bitanisa, are we going too fast? Is this good? Okay, because Rav Tzadok, again, everyone can feel free to leave whenever they need to. Rav Tzadok Yosef Arban Shnin B'Tanisa. Rav Tzadok sat 40 years being Mesane. Rav Tzadok sat 40 years fasting below the Chav Yerushalayim that Yerushalayim should not be destroyed. Imagine, it was a Tzadok in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, his name was Rav Tzadok, and he saw in some sort of nevuah, some sort of marah, that the Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed, and he sat 40 years fasting that Yerushalayim should not be destroyed. He had the achel midi, when you would eat something, he was so weak, having this chazi me'avroi, you were able to see it like by a snake. They say when a snake eats something, you could see it straight through its body, you could see it digesting. So the same thing was with Rav Tzadok, he became so weak from the 40 years of fasting, understandably so. So anytime you would eat something later on, you would see it passing through his entire body. The Kehadi Bari, once he became a little bit better, Maisi Beit Grogos, so when a person, Rahmana Litzlan, when they had the individuals who lived through the concentration camps, they were so weak, you can't respond to them right away by just giving them food. They'll die just from having such a contrast in such a short period of time. So the same was over here. What do you do for them? You give them slowly. You give them to suck on something. You give them something to eat, but in small quantities. So to over here, the doctor who came to make Rav Tzadok feel a little better, what did he do for him? He gave him some figs, some dates, and he would suck out the juice from the fruits, v'shadilu, and then he would throw out the fruits because he couldn't eat them yet. He wasn't in a state where he was able to eat fruits. He was only in a state where he was able to suck on the fruits and take the juice out of them. So over here, Marsha Bas Baisis, this poor woman, goes out to the town. She can't find anything to eat. Her servant keeps messing up and keeps missing all the opportunities to buy new flour. So she goes ahead and she goes out to the market on her own, and she finds in the middle of the street one of these dried up figs that her tzadok had sucked on, which made her very nauseous, made her very disgusted, and from that she died. This is this when Marsha Bas Baisis was actually dying. Again, she was the wealthiest woman in Yerushalayim, the Gemara says. So she took all the gold and silver. Shadisa the Shuka, she took all the gold and silver that was in her property. She threw it into the market. Amrar, and she said, Haile Maimi Barley, whoever wants this can please take it because it didn't help me out at all in my life. I ended up seeing Kaspa Mafutzas Yashlihu. At the time of the Churban, Klal Yisrael took the money, they took all the wealth that they had, and they just threw it into the streets because they realized it just wasn't getting them anywhere. It wasn't helping them at all, and their state was being destroyed. Their country, their land was being destroyed, whether they liked it or not. No matter how much money they had, everything was being destroyed. Abba Sikra raised Bar-Yerim Yerushalayim. Okay, so back to the story here. Again, we have the Talmid HaChachamim wanted to make peace, and we have this group of zealots, we have the group of Bar-Yonim who wanted to make war. So Abba Sikra was the head of these zealots. He was the head of the group of Meshugayim that wanted to make a war. So he happened to be, interestingly enough, he was Bar Achta de Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Hapa. He was the nephew of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and was one of the leaders of the Jewish camp, of the Orthodox camp at the time. Shalach Lei Tavit Sinan Gabbais. He sends him a message, I would like you to come meet with me. He tells his nephew, please come speak with me. I want to have a little conversation about what's going on here. Also, so he comes to the home of his uncle, to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. He comes privately, nobody knows about it. Amar Lei Aveinu Savidin Tu Hafi. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai starts giving him Musar and he says, my nephew, you're a little bum, look what you're doing, you're destroying Klal Yisrael. How long are you going to allow this business to go on? You're allowing Yerushalayim to die because you decided to burn down the warehouses, the storage houses that had all the food in them. What are you doing here? Amalei Ma'yavid. So here you have the person who is running this group of zealots, and he says back to his uncle, what do you want from me? The Amin Alahu, if I turn back on my decision now, then my group of zealots, the Amin Alahu Midi, Kabuli. If I decide that I should give in, if I should cave in now and go ahead and try to make peace, so my friends, the zealots, will kill me. Amalei Chazili Takanta Ludidi. So you know what? He tells him, I understand you were put yourself in a difficult predicament. I understand you can't turn around now and do anything about the state that you have put yourself in. Amalei, figure out something for me to do. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai asks his nephew, figure out something that I can do in order that Takanta Ludidi de Epo Kefshad Havi Atzilla Porta. At least allow me to leave the city that I should be able to negotiate with the Romans. Maybe I'll be able to be successful in making peace. Amalei, Nakot Nafshad Kutsiri. So the nephew tells his uncle, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, I have a great idea. You should put your Nakot Nafshad means you should act as if you are very sick, and then you should act as if you die. The Lacey Kuliyama with the Shai Lubav, everyone's going to come and ask, how is your Rav HaMatzaka feeling? What's going on? Ba'isi Midi Saria, and then you should take something that smells awful, the Agni Gabach, and they should put it right next to your bed. Balei Midinach Nafshav, and then everybody who comes to visit you will understand that obviously you died, and that's why the room smells so awful. Balei Lubav Talmida, and you should only allow your Talmidim to touch the bed, because we're not going to allow anyone in onto the secret that you're actually alive and well. Only your Talmidim. Below Le'elbach and Shiachrini, nobody else should touch you. Below Le'elbach and Shiachrini, nobody should feel that you are as light as you actually are. The Inu Nyavi, because everybody knows, the Chayo Kalil Mimisa, because a live person is much lighter than a person who is dead. So therefore, the Eitza that the nephew gives his uncle, Yechon Mitzakeh, is that he should go ahead, make himself seem as if he's sick and as if he died, and then he should convince the people that he is actually dead, and with that they will be allowed to leave Yerushalayim to go ahead and bury him. Meanwhile, all this was just a ploy that he should be able to get out of the walls of Yerushalayim, past the zealots, past the Bayonim, and he should be able to go and negotiate with the Romans to make some sort of peace treaty between them. Abed Hafi, so he goes ahead with the plan, makes pretend as if he's sick. Nifras bar Rabbi Elazar mitzadachan. So Rabbi Elazar, one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, comes from one side of the bed, Rabbi Shua mitzadachan, Rabbi Shua from the other side of the bed, and they pick him up. Kimata lepiska, when they get to the entranceway of Yerushalayim, Baalimikre, so the Bar Yonim, the zealots over here, did not really trust that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai actually died, so they wanted to stab the Aron to check if it's really true that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was dead. Amar lehu yomer Rabbi Dukru. So the Talmidim over here said, How can you dare stab the Aron of this Hale Gatana Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai? Bar the Mitzvah. So they wanted to shake it around to make sure that he was actually dead inside. Amar lehu yomer Rabbi Dukru. People are going to say, look, what a Bizayan, you were pushing around Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai the Hale Gatana. Pasulei Baba. So fine, they agree. They're going to allow the Talmidim to go ahead and bed and bury their Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So they open up the gates of Yerushalayim, Nafak. Now Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai gets to the other side and he dances out of the head of the coffin and he goes ahead and tries to make some sort of peace treaty with the Romans. So he goes and he meets up with Vespasian. As we said, Vespasian is the one who is making the siege on Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai goes to the house of Vespasian, and in truth Vespasian was just a messenger of the real Caesar, of the greater person in charge of all of Rome. Vespasian just happened to be the messenger. Amran, so Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai goes ahead and he meets up with him and he says to him, Shama Alecha Malto, Shama Alecha Malto. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says to him, Shalom Aleichem King, Shalom Aleichem King. Amar Lei, so Vespasian responds, Mechai Vestrei Kavim, Mechai Visa for two, on two accounts. Chada number one, Delad Malka Anach, Number one, I'm not a king. I'm just a messenger of the king. Kakaris Limatla. How dare you call me a king if really my boss, my king, who's on top of me, the Caesar who's ruling over me, is still alive. How dare you call me that? The Sua. Number two, Imalka Anora, if I'm in fact a king in your eyes, if you consider me such an authority, how come all this time, it took you all this time to come and visit me, to make some sort of negotiation, to make some sort of treaty, why did it take you this long if in fact you believe that I really have power? Amarlay. So he answers him as follows, on the fact that you said to me that you are not a king and I called you a king, it happens to be, I just had some sort of nebuah, I happen to know, Mata'ab, you really are the king. What do you mean? The Caesar is really the king on top of me. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, no, you are the king. Why do you laugh, Mata'ab, if in fact you are not the king, but Mimsura Yushalayim Yodam. Yushalayim would never have been given over into the hands of somebody who is anything less than a king. Because the pasuk says, you're right, it's a terrible thing. It's very sad for us when Yerushalayim has to be destroyed, when Yerushalayim HaMikdash is destroyed. However, it is only going to fall. There is still some pride that the Ribbono Shel Olam takes in Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim will only be destroyed by other people, in the hands of a mighty one, in the hands of a king. That means that Beis HaMikdash will only be destroyed by the hands of a king or someone who is a very big dignitary. So he says to the Spazian, for the fact that you are being given the green light, the ticket to go ahead and destroy Yerushalayim, obviously means you are the king. Udika Amrit, so now Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to him, and on your second question on me, Malkana, if you claim I'm a king, you ask me why it took me this long to come and negotiate. So he says to him, I'm sorry to tell you, but Bar Yonah this, Ban Lo Shakino, we have a group of Meshugayim who are in our camp, who are in Yerushalayim, who burned down the warehouses, who didn't allow anyone to come and make some sort of peace treaty or to make an agreement. So that's what's going on here. That's why I haven't come to visit you until this time. But now finally I came up with a trick and I was able to leave Yerushalayim, and here I am, I'm ready to negotiate. Amarlay, so he says, Ilu Chavis Shel Tavash, V'Dankan Karach Aleha. So Vespasian responds to him, a strange response. He says, I don't understand. If there would be a Chavis Shel Tavash, if there would be a canister that was full of sweet honey, V'Dankan Karach Aleha, and there was a snake that was wrapped around the basket of honey, Lo Hayu Shogren as a Chavis B'Shvil Darkon, wouldn't we break the Chavis, wouldn't we break the barrel of dvash in order to get the snake to go away. So the Vespasian is saying, and so too you could have broken down the walls of Yerushalayim, and then the Romans would have killed off the Mariyodim. He says to him, I don't understand. That's not an excuse just because there was a group of zealots in Yerushalayim who were guarding the walls. Well, you could have broken down the walls, and then we would have been able to come in and conquer the place, and we would have killed anyone who was standing up to us. We would have been able to kill the Mariyodim, but because you didn't do that, you are not excused. So he responds to him, Mishkik. So he responds to him in silence. He doesn't know what to answer. He says, this particular instance, one of the Chachamim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, had such a great opportunity, and he botched it. He missed his opportunity. He didn't even know how to respond to a question that Vespasian posed to him. He should have said to him, Shakmina Tzatza, if I would have been in such a situation where, if I would have been in a situation where I had a snake that was wrapped in a basket of dvash, of honey, I would take a bunch of sticks, the Shakmina Le, the Darkon, and I would kill the snake, the Kamina Le, the Chavisa Shakmina Le. I would keep the barrel of honey, I wouldn't allow the barrel of honey to be broken, I would have tried to kill off the snake with a bunch of sticks, but over here we tried to fight against the Vayon and we weren't successful, and that's why I wasn't able to come. So while this was going on, while this conversation was happening between Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Vespasian, all of a sudden the messenger comes with a note all the way from Rome, Amar Lei, and they say to Vespasian, Kum, get up to Mislav Caesar, because just so happens to be that the Caesar has passed away. The government in Rome has decided, that you, Vespasian, are the next in line, you should take over the Malchus of Rome. Exactly how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had prophesied just a few minutes earlier. Havisayim Pavisani, so Vespasian is wrapping up the conversation, so he puts on one of his shoes, Baila Vesayim Afridi, now he wants to put on the other shoe, Lo Ayo, and the shoe wouldn't go on his foot. Baila Mishnah Palayidav, so now he wants to take off the first one because he looks like a little bit funny that he has one shoe on and one shoe off, so he wanted to take off the one he had already gotten on. Well, nothing, he couldn't get the other shoe off. Amar my height, so he asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, what's going on here? How come my shoes aren't fitting anymore? Amar Leilo Tzitzar, you shouldn't feel bad because Shemua Tova Asila, you have just gotten very good news about yourself because you're becoming the king, the emperor of Rome. Diksiv Shmuel Tovah Tadash Netzach. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai tells him that the pasuk says in Mishlei that when a person gets good news, he becomes a little bit more fat than he otherwise would have been. Elamaita Kante. So he says to him, "Ask Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, what should I do? I can't walk around the streets with one shoe on, one shoe off." So he says, "Leisi Inish Velo Mitzvah Daita." So he gives him an answer. He says, "Bring someone around here that you don't like, that annoys you very much. Let him come up and allow him to hang around in front of you." Diksiv. If you get annoyed by something, that will get your bones to become skinnier. So yes, when you got the good news that you became the king of Rome, that you became the emperor, so now your bones will grow. Now they become bigger. But now that you bring someone in front of you who will cause you a little bit of aggravation, so now your bones will yet again shrink. And you'll be able to put your shoes on. Abba Hafi, so he did as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had told him, Ayil and his shoes fit. Amarle me'atabeth hafmisa kuli'ai. So he says to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I don't understand. You're obviously a great chacham, you're a great wise person. If you're so smart, Abba Hidna amayla asisa gabai, I don't understand. Where are your brains? How come you didn't come visit me until this point? Why didn't you come to make a peace treaty? Amarle gelo amilach, didn't I tell you already? The reason I couldn't come is because the Baryonim were there, they were stopping me, they were a group of zealots who wouldn't allow me to go. Amarle anonami amilach. So Vespasian says, I also told you that that's not a good excuse. There was a reason you could have gotten by the group of bandits. So Vespasian makes up with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I have to go now because I just became the emperor of Rome. I'm going to leave, but I'll send someone else to take care of Yerushalayim. But he says, Vespasian tells him, before I leave, you have the right to ask me whatever you want. You can ask me for something, the etinlach that I should give you, and I will give it to you. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked for a couple of requests. Number one, I want you to keep the city of Yavne alive, because that's where the Talmid Chachamim lived. Number two, the Shushlisa, the Rabbi Gamliel. I want you to keep alive the family of Rabbi Gamliel, because that was a famous family in Klal Yisrael. I want you to make sure that family is not killed out. Vasvasa, the Messiah, on the Rabbi Tzedek. I want you also to send a special doctor who's going to help Rabbi Tzedek become better, because the Gemara told us before that Rabbi Tzedek fasted 40 years of Tamiyus, and now he is very sick. So Vespasian is now asked to take care of these three requests. Number one, leave the city of Yavne and all the chacham that live there. Number two, you should keep the family of Rabbi Gamliel alive. And number three, you should send a doctor to help Rabbi Tzedek become better. Karile, Rabbi Yosef, Yitamer, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosef said about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai again, Meishi chachamim acha v'tayitam yisachel. I don't understand what happened to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai when he had the opportunity to discuss some sort of favor with Vespasian, with the Roman emperor. You should use it for the right things. Why do you waste it on asking such small, such trivial requests from him? You should have told him, let us go this time, let the siege off, and take all the soldiers away, and let us be. So what was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai thinking when he only asked for these small things? Why do you only ask for the family of Rabbi Gamliel? Why do you only ask for Yavne and Chachamea? And why do you only ask for a doctor to save Rabbi Tzedek's life? But who's suffering? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai thought, Dilma Kuli Hai Lo Yavid. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, if I'm going to ask the Roman emperor for 2 months, he's not going to give me anything. Tefasta Rabbi Lo Tefasta. V'hatzala Purta Namu Lo Habi. If I don't ask him, if I ask him for 2 months, he's not going to do anything, so I may as well ask him for a little bit, and at least we'll have that. Asfasa the Messiah and other Rabbi Tzedek Maigi. So what did the doctor do when it came to heal Rabbi Tzedek? Yumakam the first day Ashki Yumai Depari. He served him some drink that was bran that was soaked in water. The macha the next day ma'idik disipuka. The macha ma'idik kimcha. Adarabach maya purta purta. So he gave him a little bit at a time. He gave him this to drink, that to drink, and after a while, the tzedek became back to himself and he got all better. Also shadr l'titi. So now Vespasian, who became the Roman emperor and doesn't have time anymore to deal with this small siege on Yerushalayim, so he sends a message to the next in command, to Titus HaRosha. And he says to him, So he sends Titus to go do the job and destroy Yerushalayim, destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And here comes Titus, and let's listen what he does. So what does Titus do? Tapa zona the other, he takes Rahman al-Islam, he takes a zona in one of his arms, and nifnas the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. He enters into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in Yerushalayim, and he sees a Sefer Torah. He puts out a Sefer Torah to serve as the bedding, as the mattress. And he goes and he sleeps with the zona in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the Sefer Torah. He takes a sword and he stabs the parochas, the nas and nase, and the nase happened to make it very dramatic. And there was blood that was coming out of the Kodesh HaKadosh, the Kasavar, and Titus HaRosh HaTorah, Hargis Atzmo. Titus HaRosh HaTorah that he had actually killed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Lashon Saginar. The Gemara used to say that Titus thought that he actually killed the Ribbono Shel Olam. He finished him off. Shenemar, Shavu Tzarecha Mekarim Amdecha, Samu Osos, Samu Osos. The Ribbono Shel Olam made an oath that it seemed as if he himself was killed. The Ribbono Shel Olam himself was killed. The Rosh HaWais told me a beautiful bar here that the Gemara used a Lashon Kasavar Hargis Atzmo. He thought that he had killed the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Gemara here uses a Lashon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's referred to as Atzmo. So Rosh HaWais thought that's the Pshat in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say that the Rosh HaMahu Omer, Rosh HaWais, why do we get upset at the Rosh HaWais? Why do we say HaKadosh Shino? Because Lufisha Hotzi is Atzmo Min HaKlal. So Rosh HaWais said maybe the Pshat in that line in the Haggadah is based on this Gemara. That Lafisha Hosea is Asim HaKlal, the Rosh takes the HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the whole picture, takes him out of the story. That's why we get upset at the Rosh. It's not because Atzmo Min HaKlal, it's not because he takes himself out. A lot of times people feel disconnected, they don't feel that the Torah is for them. And that's not a reason to knock out his teeth, that's a reason to go ahead and explain. But if a person takes the Ribbono Shel Olam out of the equation and he says that Atzmo, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't exist and Hashem is not part of the equation, he's not part of the world, that's when we get angry at him, that's when we say HaKadosh Shino. Abba Chana says, "Mi kamoch chasim kam, mi kamoch chasim v'kasha shanta shemayim yitzu v'gidufa shalosu rasha v'shosik." Who is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu that allows someone to come and destroy the Beis Hamikdash and someone to be so chutzpidik in the kachay hanashim, yet Hashem sits there quietly and doesn't even respond? Tiberi Mishnah Tana, mi kamoch ba'elam Hashem, what does it mean? Mi kamoch ba'alam. Who is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu that sits there quietly and does not respond when people are starting up with him? Ma'asa. What did Titus do? So here we said that he sat with the Zona, he was Mizana with the Zona, the Kavshak Adoshim on top of the Sefer Torah, but then what was the next thing he did? Natal Saparochas, he takes the Helik of Parochas, the Asukim in Gargusni, he makes like a basket out of it, the Helik called Kelim Shavim Migdash, and Nicham Behem. And he takes all the Kelim of the Beis Hamikdash and he puts them into this Parochas in order that he should be able to travel with them inside of the Parochas. So Shivam the Svina, he puts all his goodies on the Svina, meaning all the Kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. The reason why he's taking all these is because he wants to go back to his town where he comes from and he wants to show off to all his friends. Look what I did, I was successful in destroying the Samigash and Amar of Fame Isi Rishan Kur, Ubami Makam Kadosh, Yahalehi Ishtakubair, and they go to show off in the city that they came from, Ashakane Asu, Atikri Kibura and Ella Kibutzin. You have a whole group of people together that are gathering to make a parade, to make a welcome home party for Titus that he was so successful. This was a party, a parade, in order to recognize the event that had happened, that Titus was successful in destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Some say that it means Kibur Mamish in this pasuk that Titus was even able to uncover, Titus was even able to find and to expose those things that were hidden in the ground in the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't leave the job undone. He unturned every single tile in the Beis HaMikdash and made sure he got everything. Amar Alav, so as he's traveling in this boat to go back to his town, so Amar Alav Nachshol, so he has a tornado. Hits him at sea. Nachshol Shabiyam Natava. So a tornado comes and is about to sink his boat. Amar Kamduash Ani. So Titus says with chutzpah. So he says, it seems to me, Shalakem Shalelu Ekiras Alamayim. It seems to me, he didn't get the message. He says, it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only has power in the water. Why? But Paro starts off with the Jewish people, Talib Amayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds by drowning him. But Sisera, there was later on a story with Sisera, Talib Amayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, and the whole army of Sisera drowned in the water. So Titus says, here I am, third generation of people who is starting up with Klal Yisrael, and here I am traveling back to my city on a boat, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a tornado in the water. So it seems that Hashem only has power in the water. So Titus says, in Hebrew, if Hashem is really strong, he should come onto the dry land and show me how strong he actually is. Show me that you have power. Show me that you can do something even outside of the water. Yatsa Basco the Amrlo, Abasco responded to Titus HaRasha and said, Rasha ben Rasha ben Benosha Esav HaRasha. You are a Rasha, the son of a Rasha, the grandson of Esav. Bury your congregation for Alami. I have a small animal, a small creature in my world. The Yitushima is called a gnat, a small fly. Amai currently bury your kala. Why is it called a small and light animal? Creature, the malala is love because it has a mouth that's able to let food in, the mafaka lesnaf, it doesn't have a way to excrete anything. So it's a very light creature, somehow it lives like that. So he says to Titus, Aleli Abasha, you know what? You're such a tough guy, come onto the dry land, get off of your boat, and Mitasa Ibn Gokhama, you know what? I'm not even going to start up with you, I'm not going to send a big army after you, I want you to come onto the dry land. And my smallest creature in the world, this little gnat, this little fly, will be able to win you over. All of the abrasos of Titus comes onto the dry land. So a fly comes, a gnat comes, and flies straight into his nose. So was trying to show him, you think you're such a tough guy, I'm going to send you the smallest creature in the world, and with that, you will be destroyed. So this little fly has been banging around in the head of Titus for 7 years straight. Yumachad one day, Titus is walking by a blacksmith's home. Shamakal kal arzakta, and he hears the banging of the blacksmith with his hammer, and ishtik, so all of a sudden, the fly stops banging in his head. Why? Because he hears something banging outside. Amar, so Titus tries to outsmart HaKadosh Baruch Hu again, and he says, Ikatakata, okay, Sasha, tried to destroy my life by sending a fly to fly into my nose and to make noise and give me a headache all the time. So you know what? Now I finally found the cure for myself. I walked by the blacksmith's house one day, and I heard him banging on the hammer, and the fly stopped knocking around in my head. So you know what? Every single day I will bring a blacksmith to my house, and he will bang with his hammer in front of me. The Nakri, for the non-Jews who came to volunteer, to go ahead and bang on their hammers in the house of Titus, Yavle Arbazuzi. He paid him 4 zuz to come ahead and bang for him in order to stop his headache from, stop the fly from banging on his head. The Israel, if a Jewish person came to bang the hammer, you are lucky that you're able to see your enemy, Titus Arasha, suffer so much. So you didn't even pay them. So Titus did this trick for 30 days, and in fact, the fly was quiet for 30 days because this was something that was new to it. From there on in, from 30 days on in, the fly didn't fall for the trick anymore, and the fly got used to it. The Lashon over here, the Gemara is Kimin Didashdash. Once it became something that was common, so the fly now got used to it. Which in Eben Ezer and Shulchan Aruch, we point out that, let's say a person has a name, and now we change a name, so what name do we write on the tsuba, what name do we write on the get? The person goes through a name change, one is able to change his name. So we assume after 30 days, keep it to Dutch. Once 30 days pass, the person gets used to it, the community gets used to it. Obviously, this means if the person was within the community and people were actually referring to him by that new name, so then we go by the new name. But that's all based on this Gemara, where the Gemara says that 30 days is the time of Dutch. 30 days is the time for a person to get used to some sort of new situation. When I was there when Titus HaRasha died, and when he died, Patsu Esmova, they opened up his brain, and Matsubo Kitsipa Durar, Mishkal Shnei Slam. They saw this little gnat, and it had grown so big in his head, it looked like a big bird already, and it was Mishkal Shnei Slam. It was the size, it was the measure of 2 slug. The Masnita Tana Kigozal and Shana was like a pigeon that was a year old, Mishkal Shnei Litrim. It was a special miracle that the mouth of this bird, the head of Titus, was made out of nefoshes, out of iron. It's a part of shabarzim, and basically it had metal fingers and a metal beak, which made it knock around a lot harder in the head of Titus HaRasha. When Titus died, Amar lehu lekalyu lahu gavra v'libatru lekitni ashev yami. I want, Titus HaRasha left instructions and he said, I don't want my body to be around, I want you to cremate my body and I want you to spread out the ashes, Ashev Yami, on the 7 rivers of the land. You hear why he did it? He was afraid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to take him to a Din Torah after Meiva Esrim, after he died. So he leaves strict instructions that the people in Rome should burn his body, cremate him, and throw his ashes all over the 7 rivers of the world so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't be able to find him. It's a pellet. Here you have Titus HaRasha. Hashem outsmarted him and sent the smallest creature in the world to ruin his life. It's been knocking on his head for years and years. And now, after all that, he still doesn't get the message. He tries to run away, and he says he wants that his body should be burned, his ashes should be spread across the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be able to find him. A pellet. So the Gemara tells us parenthetically, Unkelis bar Klunkelis bar Afte, the Titus Savi Unkelis, the famous Unkelis who wrote the Targum Unkelis. So he was bar Afte, he was the nephew of Titus. Partly, he raised Unkelis had in mind to be Megayer. The Gemara number Zohar in the first parable tells us a bunch of stories about Unkelis when he wanted to be Megayer and how Unkelis ended up making a lot of Romans be Megayer also along the way. But here we have Unkelis who is Megayer. So he's thinking about this process of Geirus. So he says, you know what, I have a great idea. Why don't I go into the Olam HaEmes? Why don't I go into Gehenna and find out, is this a good idea for me to be Megayer? Let me go ask some people who have already lived their lives and now are in Shemayim. Let's find out what they say in Shemayim about such a thing. So Azal Aske the Titus, so he goes and he brings Titus to Negida. He does some sort of magic trick And he brings Titus back to this world, and he has a conversation with Titus HaRasha. Amarle, man chashav ha'ru alma. So he asks Titus, who is chashav in the olam ha'emes? Amarle, Yisrael. So he says, Titus confesses, and he says the most special people nowadays in the olam ha'emes is Klal Yisrael. So Uklas asks, nu, give me an etzah, ma'ala dukebuhu. What do you think? Should I go ahead and become a ger? Should I become part of Klal Yisrael? Amarle, so Titus says, milayu nefishin v'lamatzas lukeminu. So he says, they have so many mitzvahs, it's so hard to be an Erlech and Yid, it's not worth it, you'd rather stay as a non-Jew than to be a Jew. Zili Yigru Behu Bahu Alma, he says to him, you should go and make them work for you, Bahavis Resha. You should go and give them tzaris and make them work for you, and this way, if you give them tzaris, you will become a great man. Why did see it? Because the Pasuk says in the first paragraph, we read it tonight, the people who go and give tzaris to Klal Yisrael end up somehow becoming on top of the world. So he gives Uncleus a... He gives Uncleus an etza, if I were you, I wouldn't become a ger, I wouldn't join Klal Yisrael, but if you want to become a great man in your life, you should go ahead and give them tzaris, because the Gemara Darshan is called a mezer, the Yisrael Masarosh. Anyone who gives tzaris to Klal Yisrael will be ahead in life. Amar lei dina dahu gadar b'chai. So Uncleus asks, can I ask you a personal question? What kind of onus are you getting in Gehenna for what you did in your life, for destroying the Beis HaMikdash? Amar lei, so he responds to him, b'mai depasik anavshe. He says, it just so happens to be, I left strict instructions before I died that they should burn my ashes and spread me out on all the rivers of the world. So he says, because I said that, kol yom ha-machanshilei v'kidmi, every single day the Rebbe Shalom gathers up all my ashes, v'dayinilei, and they do a dintara over and over and over again. Every single day they bring me to a new dintara, v'kalilei, and then they burn me up again, u'mevajra shev yami. They burn me up every single day, as I instructed. The Rebbe Shalom burns me up, spreads me on all the rivers of the world, and then he brings me back for the Torah the next day. Also asking a Bilam and Akida, so then Uncleus goes ahead and he asks Bilam Arasha, what do you think about becoming a ger? Amalei man chashav ha'ru alma. So he asks Bilam, who is chashav in the next world? It's interesting, Rav Dessa writes in the Nuchta Meliyahu, just an interesting horror that he points out in this Gemara, that you see that Gehenna is not made to make people. He says it's Einu Melamed Es Hatov. Gehenna is not made to make someone a good person. Gehenna is made L'chala Es Hara. He said Gehenna is made to take out the bad from a person. And he says, therefore, we still have Titus HaRasha and Bilam HaRasha going through the cleansing process in Gehenna. They didn't yet become good people, because you see over here, they're responding in ways that are not good. They're responding in ways that are not positive. So you see that even after all the Gehenna in the world, still, they're not becoming good people. All they're doing is getting their ra out of them. But these people were so rotten through and through that it takes them a long time to get all the ra out. That's what the Mishnah Maleo points out from here, and he has a whole bunch of Ma'amar Kemis, it's Mechei Lagal, if anyone wants to see. It's a very interesting piece, if that interests anybody. Amalei, so he asked Bilam, so who is Chashav in the Olam Ha'emes? So Bilam responds, Yisrael, all Yisrael are the ones who are Chashav. Ma'ala duke behu. So Titus, I'm sorry, so Uncleus asks, I guess someone's still on. So Uncleus asks Bilam, what is Marla Kukavu? What do you think? Should I become part of Klal Yisrael or not? If I were you, I wouldn't get involved at all with Klal Yisrael. I would stay far away from them. So he asks Bilam, what is your punishment in Olam HaEmes? Amarle, the Shifa Zera Sefes. Every single day, the Rebbe Shalom burns me in Shifa Zera Sefes. Why is this to be the connected Yida? So Mepharshim explained, Shaitim here say already, that it's because Bilam was the one who gave the Eitzah that Benos Moab should go ahead and do this. No, so the connected Yida was that he is punished in Shifa Zera Sefes, in burning out Shifa Zera. Azal Haskev and Yida Leposhe Yisrael. So then he goes ahead, Uncleus goes ahead and he brings, through magic, he brings Leposhe Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, who did Averis in their lives, and he asked them, Amar Leimam Kachar Ba'u Alma. So he asked them, who is the most chashav in the Olam HaEmes? Amar Lei Yisrael, Amar Lei Duk Behu. So Uncleus asked them, what do you think about the idea of becoming a ger? Amar Lei Tadasam Drosh Ra'asam Lo Tzidrosh. So he says to him, I think you should get involved when things are good for them, but Ra'asam Lo Tzidrosh, you should never get involved in anything that's bad for Klal Yisrael. Why? Because Kol Anogei Bahem Ki Anogei Bahem Sa'ayin. Anyone who gets involved in something bad for Klal Yisrael, it's as if he's touching the pupils of his eyes. Amar Lei Dina Da'u Gavu B'mai. So he asked these Poshe Yisrael, these terrible people who did Averis in their lives, what is your punishment in Olam HaEmes? Again, Amalei B'tzor Rosefes. We are burning every single day in Tzor Rosefes and burning hot excrement. The Amar Mar, Kalamalag is Divrei Chachamim. Anyone who makes fun of Tamina Chachamim, Nida B'tzor Rosefes. That is going to be his punishment in
in Gehenna. Lacham Eves. Tachazi Mamet Poshe Yisrael and Nevi'u Umasalam. Says the Gemara, look, just a horror the Gemara makes, look at the difference between Poshe Yisrael and Nevi'u Umasalam. Of the Amidazar. Look at the difference in the way they respond. Tanya Amar, Belazar Bore, Kamigdala Kofusha Busha. Now back to the story, we went on a long tangent, but back to the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. We remember the Maisa that had he threw Bar Kamsa out of the party, they embarrassed him, nobody stuck up for him. So you see over here, Kamigdala Kofusha Busha, you see how seriously we take one who is Mavai, somebody else, Share, because of an embarrassment, because Bar Kamsa was embarrassed here, and he was thrown out of the party and nobody helped him. Hashem went along with the plan of Bar Kamsa, and he allowed that Bar Kamsa should be responsible, solely responsible for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Imagine what can happen from such a terrible story. Should we continue? Okay. Everyone is welcome to stay or to leave. No one should feel pressured. So now the Gemara continues. The second story which brought about the Korban says the Gemara, Tarmagala, Tarv, Tur Malka, because of two chickens, the city of Tur Malka was destroyed. What does that mean? They have the Yidi, because there was a minig in Klal Yisrael, ki have a Mafku Chasna Mekalta, when they had a Chasna Mekalta, they were going out to get married. Mafku Kamayr Tarmagala, Tarmagalta. They would throw two chickens out in the street in front of the Chasna Mekalta Kolomar, and it was sent as a message, Puru Vuku Tarmagala, we should have a lot of children just like the chickens. Have a lot of eggs. Yumachad one day had a kachalit, good of the rabbi. One day, as the Jewish people were doing this custom that they had, and they were sending out the chickens in front of the chasam and kala, so there was a group of Roman soldiers that were passing by. Shaklinu minayu, they took away the chickens from in front of the chasam and kala. Nafu alayu machunu. So the Jewish people got angry at the Romans. What are you doing? We have a minute to send chickens in front of the chasam and kala. What right do you have to take the chickens away from us? So the Jewish people went ahead and fought off the Roman soldiers and they killed them. Also, Amalei the Caesar. So the message gets back to the Caesar that the Jews have rebelled against the army. Marder Bafi Udadi. Also, Elias and the Caesar comes and he gets upset at them and he starts a war. Havalu, Halu, Bar Jeromo. So now there's a war between the Caesar and the Jews. So there was one person, a Jewish person from the south, that had a kafetz mila, so he knew how to do magic, and he was able to jump a mile with katabalu. So he was jumping a mile and killing off any soldier that came within a mile's radius of the Jewish people. So when they had this magician who was able to fly all over the place, and he was able to save the Jews from being killed. Shakai Kesar the Tagate, so the Caesar is totally taken aback by this magician, by the Jewish magician who was able to fly all over the place and kill the soldiers. So the Caesar takes off his crown, but Osvei Aaron, and he puts him on the ground. Aaron, he says, he confesses, Ribbono d'Olam Kulei, Ribbono Shel Olam, Minichalach, Lo Tivshei Lo Gavra L'Didei, Lo Machusa V'Yada L'Chav Gavra. If you want me to be wiped out, if you want us to lose the war, okay, it's okay, I'm okay with losing, I'm okay with failure, but you're going to tell me I'm going to lose this whole war because there's one magician out there who's able to fly a mile, and he's going to kill out a whole army, that's a design for me. Actually, put me the Bar Jeromo. So then, the magician, after this tefillah, imagine, after the tefillah of the Gaius Caesar, who's trying to destroy Klal Yisrael, still, you see the power of tefillah. He offers a tefillah to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he's answered. Because over here, the Gemara tells us, right after he offers this tefillah, actually, put me the Bar Jeromo, the magic tricks of this person from the south stopped working. He wasn't able to do his magic, and he was no longer able to fly a mile as he used to be able to do. The Amar, and he says, he began to rely, and the Farshim say, the Marsha writes, that this magician began to rely on his own powers, and he forgot about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who was doing all the magic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who was allowing him to be successful and to kill out the army. So now he started trusting in himself, and now he wasn't able to do that anymore. And he says, "Hello, Atar Elokim Zinaftanu, Lotetze Elokim Tzavaseinu, I don't need you anymore, Hashem, to get involved in my jumping, in my fighting. I'll be okay with that." I asked the Gemara, what's so bad about saying such a thing? Isn't this a pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Samach? Davin Nami Amarachi, Divin Davin Amalach himself recite this pasuk. So why is it any worse for this individual to say the pasuk if Davin Amalach said it? So the Gemara says, no, David, that's when we come in Tamid. David, when he said it, it was just a rhetorical question. He says, can you imagine if we went to war without HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But this person from the south was saying it literally. He was saying, I don't need you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm okay without you. So fine, so what happened? So he said this pasuk. This person from the south recites a pasuk that was improper. So then the next thing he knows, Allah Beis Akise, he goes up to the Beis Akise, he uses the bathroom, also Darkune, and a snake comes, Shante the Karkishne, and he bites him, and he eats out his insides, Minach Nafshe, and he died. Amar, so the Caesar says, Hal Bosramash Lemisa Hazimna, since I see that things are going well for me, I see I was misbalked, and I see that he answered, Ishavke, so maybe I will leave the Jews alone because I'm thankful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed me to stay alive. Shavkinu ba'azel, so he leaves them, and he goes, he turns around, he tells the soldiers, go home, I don't want you to fight with the Jews anymore. Is Dapur, so now all of a sudden the Jewish community is happy, so the Jewish community is so ecstatic over the fact that the government has now let them go, so they go and they make a big party, and they light candles at until there was so much light, there was so much joy, you were able to see from a mile away, you were able to see the reflection on the signet rings of the people who were a mile away. So now the Roman emperor gets angry. He says, the Jews over here are making fun of me. They're happy in the fact that I failed. Other Asa Elias, so now he decided to turn back around and he came to fight with Klal Yisrael again. Amar Basi, Tlasmea, Alfi, Shlifi, Saifi. There were 300,000 soldiers with swords out of the Termako, went on to the city of Termako. Vikadlu, Ba, Tlasa Yomi, Vitlasa Lelavasa. They went and they fought a battle with the Jewish people for 3 days and three nights. So the Hachisa Hilula, on this side of the mountain, where the people didn't even know that there was a massacre going on, they were still under the impression that the non-Jews had left them alone, they were still partying, they were still happy. And on the other side, there were 300,000 soldiers that were killing out the Jewish people, and there was a massacre happening, but the Jews did not themselves recognize because they were on the other side of the mountain, so this was a terrible time in the city of Termako. And as the Gemara says, the reason why all this happened is because it all started because Klal Yisrael had a minhag that they used to put two chickens in front of the chasna kala, and the army came along and took away the chickens, and then Klal Yisrael rebelled against the army, and that's how the whole story unfolded, and this entire city was wiped out. Bala Hashem v'lochamal es kama os Yaakov ki asa rabbanon rabbi Yochanan. What does that pasuk mean? Bala Hashem v'lochamal es os Yaakov, that Hashem destroyed and he didn't have rachmanos on Klal Yisrael. Eilu shishim ribur ha-yaros, these are the 60,000 cities. Shehayilu l'yanei ha-melech, that Yanei had the Har HaMelech. Yanei had a big community called Har HaMelech, so he had 60,000 cities and he destroyed them. Da'am rabbi Yuna ha-melech, shishim ribur ha-yaros, l'yanei ha-melech, like Har HaMelech. Each city had 600,000 people. Chutz mishlosh, except for three cities, Shaiba had kiflayim kiyotz Mitzrayim, except for three cities which had double the amount of people that were in Mitzrayim, which is a million. On Elu Hain, what were the cities called? Farbish, Farshaflayim, Farlechrayim. Farbish, why was it called the bad city? Below Yavim, Bisa, Lish, Bisa. Because they had such bad midos, they would never give a place for a person to live. Just like the city of Sdom, they were a terrible city, that's why they were destroyed. So over here, this city was destroyed. Far Shachalayim, Sharasa Parnasasa Min Shachalayim. Because they got their business from Shachalayim. I don't know what that word means. I think it means from shoes. Right? Anyone have it here? What? A food? Not sure what it means. The city of Shachalayim is because they had their business from Shachalayim. I'm not sure what it is. The reason why they were called the city of Lichraya, sometimes in Shas we find that a Dalit and a Zayin are interchangeable. So over here the Gemara tells us that the city was called Kfar Lichraya because they would all have Zecharim, they would all have male children first, and then they would have a Keva, and that was it. They would stop after two children, they thought that was good enough. Amar Rulu Ludidi Chazili Haru Asra, I saw that city. I feel a Shikir of Vasa, Pani Lomasik, what are you talking about? It didn't even hold 6,000 reeds. How can you say that it had 1.5 million people? How can you say that 600,000 people, it didn't even hold 600,000 little blades of grass? Amar Leia, what's the duke? There are Panina Shkri Mishakrisu. What do you think? I'm lying? What do you think? I'm making it up? Amar Leia, Eretz Tzvikzid. It says in Eretz Yisrael, it's called the Eretz Tzvi, the land of the deer. Mat Tzvi, just like a deer. Ain't Oro Masik as Bizarre. The deer is not really able to hold everything that is inside. All the insides of all the organs of the deer are really not physically able to fit inside. Alpha Eretz Yisrael is not Shiosh Malea Rafa. When Klal Yisrael is on the land, is living in Eretz Yisrael, it expands, it extends. It was not Shiosh Yisrael Da Gamda. When Klal Yisrael is not living in Eretz Yisrael, it shrinks. All three of these Amaram were sitting together. Amri, so they said, if anybody heard any stories about the city of Farsachania of Mitzrayim, Leva, you should tell us those stories. So one of the three Amaram opens up the conversation and he says the following. There was a story about a couple that was engaged. They were captured in some town of non-Jews, the Hisians El Azeh, and the non-Jews put them together. Amr lo bivakasha mincha al tigabim. So the girl says to the boy, please don't touch me. She'en iksuba, because I don't have iksuba yet from you. I'm not allowed to live with you. I'm not allowed to touch you. We're not officially married. But nagaba ad yomozo. Imagine they were put together in a room. Imagine the tzidkas of this couple, that they didn't touch each other until the day that they died. Shemez, and when they were dying, Amar lahem, siftu lezeh, you should say a hesped on this man. Shepitpit b'yitzro, Yosef Yosef, you should say a hesped on him, a chashav a hesped, because he fought off his yitzhara more than Yosef HaTzadik. Why do you look at Yosef? By Yosef HaTzadik, it says, Lahaya Elachada Shaita, he only had the Messiah one time in his life. Asius put the Pharaoh came to start up with him, and he got through it. He was able to get through the Messiah. But this individual, this engaged couple, call Yuma Yuma. Every single day, he had a battle not to touch the woman that he was not yet married to, and he actually was able to overcome that Nisayim. Be'ilu Yosef, and also by Yosef HaTzadik, La B'chadamita. They didn't put him in a bed with the woman. They didn't put him with Eishes Potiphar in a bed. B'hai B'chadamita, but over here, they threw this man in a bed with his engaged wife, and still he chose not to touch her for the rest of his life. B'ilu Yosef, La B'ashtu B'ha, B'ha Ishto, I'm sorry. By Yosef, it wasn't his wife, B'ha Ishto, but this person over here was actually his wife. It was rightfully so, the woman who he was allowed to be with. So the next time Amar started off and he said a story. There was once a community in this place in Mitzrayim where the measurements of Arba Ayin, 40 measurements, Bedina, Netzer Hashar. Arba Ayin, Mudias, Bedina, they used to get 40 measures of some sort of food, Bedina, across the Medina. All of a sudden, Netzer Hashar, there was some sort of problem in the marketplace. And that's our Hashem Modiya Achas. So all of a sudden, the prices went down from what they generally were. Upadu Matsu Avu Mino. So everybody was nervous. Why is there such instability in the marketplace? This never happens. Upadu Matsu Avu Mino Shabal Nar Murasa Biyom Kippur. So they found that there was one person and his son who were Bar Lanar Murasa on Yom Kippur. They were in the Bezdin Sakum. And they brought this father and his child to Bezdin and they gave him Skila, the Chazar Hashanam Koma, and immediately the business went back to its regular state, and everything went back to the way it originally was. So you see how chashuv the city was, because nowadays, let's say someone in the Farsha Mari, why is it that we don't have Negoyim and Zman Hazeh? How come we don't have Taraz anymore? The answer is because we're not chashuv enough to get such punishments. Nowadays, we do so many Averis. Imagine if every time we didn't have Averis, the Ribbono Shel Olam came and hit us and punished us, we wouldn't be able to live. There'd be no world. So too over here, if there was a city where there was such tzaddikim that the one time actually, there was a problem in the market. The one time there was actually an issue and the prices went down, everybody understood automatically that it means somebody did a horrible avera, and they checked into it, and then that was the end of that. It took care of the problem. Pasachidek, so the third Amora opens up and he says the story. There was a person who wanted to divorce his wife, and the suba cost a lot of money, so he wasn't able to afford it. So somebody do halach lezivna shishbina. So he went ahead and he invited the shishbina. He invited the servants in the house, the achilan, and he gave him to eat, the hishkan, and he gave him to drink, shichran, and they got drunk. The hishkivan al mita achas, and he put all them to sleep in one bed. Mehevi lovan beitza, and he took the white of an egg. He killed the ham and he put it on the bed to make it as if the husband and wife had lived together. The heaven had made him, and he put Aiden outside the room. We brought the Bezin, and he came to Bezin. Hayasham Zakin Echad, and Talmidei Shami Azav. So what happened? So this individual wanted to divorce his wife, but he didn't want to pay ksuba. So what's the one way a person could get out of paying his wife a ksuba? So the easiest way is to come up with a story how she was Mizana, and she's not deserving of a ksuba. A woman who ruins a marriage because she was Mizana obviously is not entitled to a ksuba. So over here, this man comes up with a whole idea, a whole ploy of how he made pretend as if his wife was Mizana with these people in the party, and really, in fact, the whole story was made up. So he comes to Bezin with these Edim, and he says, I would like the Bezin to punish my wife, and I would like to get divorced from her without paying her a ksuba. Hayasham Zakin Echad, there was one older man there in the room, Mitamida Shamay Azakin, he was a Talmud of Shamay, Ubaba Ben Buta Shmo. The Gemara has a whole bunch of interesting stories about Baba Ben Buta, but here is one of them. You see the brilliance of Baba Ben Buta. Amar Lahem, so he says, Kachmu Kublani Mishabi Azakin, I have a Mesura from my Rebbe Shamay, the old Shamay Azakin, that Lovan Beitza Solomonar. Shechazara Dokhunar. He says, let's do a scientific experiment. For those who think that Chazal didn't know science, here we go. Here we have an experiment that the Chazal of the year came to the Bezin and said, we're going to test it out and see actually if really there was Shechazara on the bed, where this guy is really just putting a whole ploy together in order to get his wife in trouble. Badku and Matsu Kidbarak, so they tried it out and they saw with the science that actually the person that made the story up, they knew the Bezin and they brought the husband in fact to Bezin, Bilku, and they gave him Mapis, Ribu, Ksubasim, and Menu, and they made him pay his wife to Ksuba, Amale Abayi, Rabbezin, Riachadab, and Sadiqim Kulihai, Mai Tamri, Anishnu. So here we find three unbelievably incredible stories about one community in Mitzrayim. So if we have this community that was so incredibly chashev, such tzaddikim, so why in fact were they punished? Why were they destroyed? So he says the reason why the city was destroyed is not because they didn't have good midos, it's not because they weren't Yerushalayim, rather it's because they forgot about Yerushalayim, they didn't spend time thinking about the avelus of the Churban Mitziv. Simchas Yerushalayim, Gilu Bakala Avel, Sisa Itam Mesos Kala Mesata Maleh. The only time one is going to have happiness in his life is if he actually spends time in his day, he takes a significant amount of time to really think about Yerushalayim, which is something for us to think about. We say every single day with Yerushalayim Mircha, we say Eskam Achdavid, we say so many times in our tefillahs things about Yerushalayim, we make reference to it, and over here you see that as much of a tzaddik as a person can be, if he doesn't understand that during the day he has to take special time out to really think considerably about Yerushalayim, all else that he's doing is really not worthwhile. Should we continue? Stop? I'm okay. Ready? Okay. Okay, if everybody leaves, I'll talk to myself. Asaka the Rispa. So now the Gemara says a third story. Because of the side of the carriage, Karu Beita. Should we go a little slower?
No.
Asaka the Rispa on the side, I just have to keep everyone up. On the side of the carriage, because of the side of the caravan, Karu Beita. The city Beita was destroyed. What does that mean? Because the side of the caravan, the city of Beitar was destroyed. Now, Abimahiki, because there was a custom in the city of Beitar, the Abimahiki Nuka, when a child was born, when a boy was born, Shasli Arzah, they would plant a cedar tree. Yinukta, when a girl was born, Shasli Turnisa, they would plant a cedar tree as well. Yihavi Mitzvi, when the couple would get married, when this young couple that the trees were planted for got married, Kaisidu, they would cut down the trees, and Abdu Ganana, they would make the chuppah, beautiful minute, they would make the chuppah out of the trees that were planted at the time when this young child was born. Yumachad, one day, Abu Kachalfa, Barte, the Kesar, one day the daughter of the Caesar was passing through the city of Beitar, and Itbar Saka de Rizka, the side of her carriage, broke. So she's here stuck on the side of the road, and she doesn't have a caravan that works. So what does she do? She cuts down the trees, and she goes ahead, Katsu Arzeba Ayula. So she goes and cuts down the tree and puts it as the side of her caravan. Also, Nafal Alayu, so the Jewish people were so angry. What do you mean? This tree is the one we planted for the child when he was born. This tree is the one we planted that we want to use at the wedding for the chuppah. How dare you cut it down to use it for your chariot? Machunu, so now they went and they started up with her. Asu Amrulay the Caesar, so they told the Caesar, look what the Jews did, they started up with your daughter, Mardabach Yudai, Asu Alayu, and then the Caesar came and he destroyed the city of Beit. God of Bukhari asked Pankar and Israel, Amram Tayyar, Amir Abi Abba, Amir Abi Yafna. Eilish Manam Alef, Karim Machamash, and to the Kar Beit. The Gemara goes on to say, what was the terrible massacre that happened as a result of this starting up with the daughter of the Caesar? Well, I'll tell you what it was. It says the Gemara, there were 80,000 Karim Machamah, there were 80,000 soldiers, there were 80,000 caravans of soldiers. Shenifus to the Krach Beitar that entered the city of Beitar Vesheshalachdu at the time that they took it over and they killed out the Jews. Vahargabah, Nashim, Nashim, Vatav, they killed out the whole city, men, women, and children, Achahalach, Damin, Benafali, Amagadal, until there was so much blood that was spilled in the town of Beitar and the blood was dripping into the Amagadal. Shema Trovar, maybe a person, a wise guy, is going to say, Krova Isa, oh, not such a big deal, not such a massacre. Yamagadal is right near the city of Beitar. Says the Gemara, no, Rechaika Isa Mil. It was a mile away from the city of Beitar, yet the blood was spilling all the way a mile down into the Yamagadal. Tanya Blazar Gadal Omer, Shnei Nechalim Yeshu Bikas Hedayim. There are two streams of water in Bikas Hedayim, Echem Moshe Chelef, Echem Moshe Chelef. One of them goes east-west, one of them goes north-south. The Gemara said that the Chacham measured that after the terrible massacre of Beitar, after all the people were killed, these two streams of water were only two-thirds water and one-third full of dam. That's how much blood spilled into the rivers. The Gemara tells us that we had a tradition that there were 7 years that the Goyim didn't even have to fertilize their land, because they were using the blood as fertilization. For 7 years at last, the Goyim to fertilize their land, that's how much dam was spilled in the city of Beitar. There was an old man in the town of Yerushalayim who told me, Bibikazu, in this particular valley, Arab Nebuzaradan, Nebuzaradan was another terrible oppressor of Klal Yisrael, Rav Tabachim, he was the chief executor. He killed Masayim Ba'achas Ve'esrei Bibo. He killed 2,110,000 people. Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim itself, Harad Tishim Ba'arba Ribo, he killed 940,000 people. Al Eben Achas, all over one stone. Anshahalach Laman Benabu B'damash HaZachariah. So here you have Nebuzaradan, the chief executor, who killed 3 million people, and the dam is obviously spilling all over the place, all over the streets. But he sees a crazy, strange phenomenon. Nebuzaradan goes and he sees that blood is spilling down the streets until it reaches the Nagar Gamashal Zachariah. Until it reaches, and we all know about the story about Zachariah, and the Gemara tells us here that this dam that was spilled in the times of the Nebuzaradan goes ahead and it touches the blood of Zachariah in the Beis HaMikdash. There was one dam that touched another dam, and now they meet up with each other. Ashkafein, the Nebuzaradan goes and he finds the dam in Zachariah that had become Mirsas. So he goes to the Beis HaMikdash and he sees now the blood is meeting up with the blood of Zachariah on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, and he sees, strangely enough, that the blood of Zachariah is bubbling over. Veselik, he sees the wound stop bubbling. Amar Maniyahim, so he asks the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, what's going on? Why is the dam of Zachariah bubbling over? Amar Leis, the Kohanim say, Dam's Rafim in the Shabbat. So they were afraid to tell him that we actually murdered our own person. We murdered Zachariah. The Kohanim were afraid to say that to Nebuzaradan. It sounds a little bit embarrassing to confess that they had actually killed one of their own. So they tell Nebuzaradan to make up a lie, and they tell him that that's actually some blood from a carbon. I sit down in Loedu. So he goes and he shuts the carbon, Nebuzaradan, and he sees that the blood doesn't look similar at all to the blood that's on the floor. So he realized they were lying. I'm going to look at Yamisa, if you tell me the truth what it is, I will allow you to get away with it. Be loud, if you don't tell me the truth, I'm going to comb all of your skin. Bimisaki departs it with iron combs. Amrilei, so they said, my name Allah, what do you want us to tell you? It's a terrible story that happened. Nabi Adabah, we had a Navi in our generation, Navi Kambuchaklam Bimili Dishmai. He was giving us a lot of Musr. Kamin Amilavayu, so we were getting annoyed that he was giving so much Musr. So we got up to Kalilalay and killed it, because it was enough with the Musr. He said, what do you do without the Navi, Zachariah? Well, Hamashnim, this is already so many years later, after Zachariah was killed and after we murdered him, the local Nayaf Dome, and still his blood has been boiling, bubbling over as if it's fresh, as if it was just killed yesterday. Amar Lahu. So Zachariah says, you know what? You did such a terrible thing to your Navi. I will be Mephias, his blood, I will appease the blood of Zachariah. I see Sanhedrin, you know, the Sanhedrin Ketanah. So the Nebuzaradan goes ahead and he brings the Sanhedrin. Katav Levayim lo naf. He kills all the Tamei Chachamim, but still the blood of Zachariah was still bubbling over, and he sees that obviously that was not a good enough Nekama. The Nebuzaradan says, I gotta keep killing Klal Yisrael because I need to avenge the blood of Zachariah. Bechurim uvesulos. Then the next thing he does is he brings young boys and girls, Katav Levayim lo naf, and he kills them all out, and still it would not stop boiling. Then he brings the young children and he kills all the children in Yerushalayim. Below Nachan, still the blood of Zachariah would not stop bubbling over. He says to Zachariah, I understand. I just went ahead and killed so many hundreds of thousands of people in Klal Yisrael. And these are the most beautiful, wonderful people. How could it be? Do you want me to go and continue to do a massacre, do a Holocaust, kill out everybody in the world? Once he said that, nothing. Once he said this statement to Zachariah, then Nach, the blood stopped bubbling over. Then all of a sudden, Nebuzaradan wakes up and he says, what a terrible thing I did. And he says, I can't believe I just killed that old time. All of Klal Yisrael, all the men, women, and children. So he was Mahara B'Tshuva. He goes ahead and he does Tshuva for what he had just done. Amar, and he says, who has so much feelings for even one person like Zachariah who was killed, and he allows so many hundreds of thousands of people to be killed as a result of avenging the blood of one individual person, Zachariah. Imagine what a Kodesh Baruch is going to have in store for me after I get to the Olam HaEmes and he gives me a punishment for killing out so many hundreds of thousands of people in Klal Yisrael. Arak Azal Shadr Shnar Par Tasa Bibese. He goes and he writes a will for his family, and he was Megaya. Tana, so that's a fascinating story. Gemara says over here that Nebuzaradan, after all the horrible tragedy that he caused Klal Yisrael, after all the massacres he did, the Gemara tells us he went out and he was Megaya, which is a very, very surprising story. Tana, the Gemara tells us, the following Masorah that they had. Naaman Ger Toshan Hoya. Naaman was a Ger Toshan, the Mizrahim Ger Tzedek Hoya. The Mizrahim was a real Ger Tzedek. He became really a part of Klai Yisrael. The Nebama Shal Haman, the Gemara says that from the grandchildren of Haman, loved the Torah of Nebrak, they were learning Torah in the Nebrak, the Nebana Shal Sisra, loved the Tinokas Mishalayim. They were teaching young children Torah in Yerushalayim. How ironic. The Nebama Shal Sanherab lived in Torah of Rabin from the grandchildren, from the ancestors of Sanherab, they taught from the family of Sanchera, they taught Torah Barabin. Rami Nun, who were those people who taught Torah Barabin? Shmai Rab Tarim, he saw the Kedushas Levi when he has comments on the Gilas Eichah. So he points out over here, why is it that the Rishayim have the schus that their grandchildren, their great grandchildren, should have the schus to go and teach Torah? That's the highest level of schus that a person should have. He should be able to teach Torah. So what right do they have? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it that Haman, the great Rasha Haman, the great Rasha of Mizrahim, the great Rasha of all these people that we just mentioned here in the Gemara Sanhedrin, why is it that they have the special skills of having grandchildren or great-grandchildren who are teaching Torah in Yerushalayim, who are teaching Torah in Negev? So Kedushas Levi writes a beautiful insight, and he says that it just so happens to be, yes, although these were great Rishayim, but there was a great Iskalos Hashchina, there was a great Kavod Shamayim that came out because of the story of Haman, because of the story of Purim. Yes, they were horrible, their intentions were bad, but they do deserve some scar because of the fact that a great Yiskalos of Shechina came out as a result of what they did. If you look in the Pesukim, it says, Chel Par Lechol Zahra Yardu Ke'even Mitzula. Right? It says that all, right, not the Pesukim, sorry, we have that in Moses Tzur, right? We say that Chel Par Lechol Zahra, all the generations of Paro, Yardu Ke'even Mitzula. But when it comes to Haman, it says, Roiv Banav Nekinyan of Alayit Chalisa. It only says that most of those who came out of Haman were hung on the tree. Why? What does it mean, Rogban of the Kinyana? Because over here, some of our should say it means, because over here, the Gemara tells us that some of the great-grandchildren of Haman were saved, and later on they were able to teach Torah in Bnei Brak. So that obviously means that not everything that belonged to Haman was destroyed. But when it came to Pyro and Mitzrayim, everything in Mitzrayim and Pyro's country was destroyed. Says the Gemara further, Hakoko Yaakov Ayyayim Be'esem, Hakol Zeh Adrayimus Kesar Shari Balaksanzi Shem Mitzrayim Shishimibro Al Shishimibro. Adrayimus Kesar killed 600,000 people, Kiflai Kiyotzi Mitzrayim, killed 600,000 by 600,000, which means 600,000 squared, is 1.2 million people. Kol Yaakov Zeh Asposanus Kesar Shari Bekraf Beitar Arba Me'az Ribo, he killed 400 million people, I'm sorry. This is the Roman government who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, who destroyed Eretz Yisrael. Another pshat is, there's no tefillah in the world that doesn't somehow have a connection to the children of Yaakov Avinu, to the Jewish people. There's no war in the world that is fought that doesn't have some sort of involvement with the ancestor, with the children and the offspring of Esau. When one should hide when there is a tefillah. Hashem showed David HaMelech l'chur b'meis HaMikdash, l'chur b'ayisheni. Chur b'ayisheni sh'namar anaros b'alvel sh'am yisham b'gam achinu. Ha'ayisheni nitzi zarcha Hashem v'bnei Edom, esayam v'yishalayim v'amru aru aru adi yisoy ba. Amra v'yam ha'mishko v'yitem ram ali, v'yitem ara, v'amru l'al nasnita tana. My sabda amez yiladim. Here there's a story about 400 children, and we'll see it in the kiddos tomorrow morning. V'yiladim, there were 400 boys and girls, and ashra l'kalam, they were captured in order that they should do mishkab zachar. The non-Jews wanted to start up with them. So they had the feeling of why they were taken onto this boat. Lama Lamaim instruction, why they were taken by the non-Jews onto the boat. Amr Lubimanu tells me, if we drown ourselves in the river, we are going to go to Al-Naba. Why? Because we're pure souls, we never did any Averis. Dar Sahanagala Shabaham, so the oldest person on the boat got up and he said, Amr Hashem, we bashan Ashab Ashab and Mitsulas Yam, we bashan Ashab, we bang Shine Arye, Ashab and Mitsulas Yam, Elisha Tobayam. Hashem promises he will save those who jump into the river and save themselves from the mouth of the lion. Kimi Shashami, you love this calf. Once the girls heard this, Kafsu Kula, they all jumped into the river, Benafu Tafayam, and they drowned in the water. Nasu, you love the calf. So the boys, once they saw that the girls had such mysterious nefesh, so the boys followed suit, Bamru, and they said, Mama, Lola Shadakam Ka, that women have the natural tendency to go ahead and be involved in such things. Kaf, and they were able to have such mysterious nefesh and jump into the water and kill themselves. Others should end up being a for sure, we should jump into the water. So they also committed suicide. They jumped into the water because they did not want to fall prey to doing these affairs. And these group of children in the boat, the pasuk says, Rabbi Amar is a Isha Mishim Bonah. This story, this pasuk, is referring to the Isha Mishim Bonah, the woman who had seven children. Why? What was the story with the Isha Mishim Bonah? Asiwa Kamala Kamei the Kesar. They brought the first one of her sons in front of the Caesar, Amrulay, so the Caesar said to him, Palach Abbas Kacham, I want you to bow down to the idol. Amar Lahusay said to him, to the Caesar, no, since the Torah says, I'm not Yashamal Kefa. I'm not allowed to bow down to your Rabbi Zerah. It says, I'm not Yashamal Kefa. I've Google Kalus. They took this first child of the woman, and they killed him. Asil Edoth, and they brought the second child to Tamei. They brought the second child to the Caesar. Amr Lehi, so they asked him, Plach HaRosh Kefam. Amr Lehusa, he said, so the Torah, it says, in the Torah, Lo Yilapak, Elohim Afer Ma'panai. So I can't bow down to that, but it's Arach Kuba Kadus, so they killed the second child as well. Asil Edoth, they brought the third child. Amr Lehi, Plach HaRosh Kefam. They told the third child, they should bow down to that, but it's Arach Kuba Kadus. Amr Lehu, so he responds, Sif the Torah, Vizarach Hashem, Vizarach, Velakim Yecharei. So Vayach Elohim Yecharei. Avku v'kadus they killed him. Asiyu l'idach they brought the fourth. Amalei plach alav z'chavim. Amalei says Sif the Torah, Vizashtach al elachem. Avku v'kadus they killed him too. Asiyu l'idach they bring the fifth kid. Amalei plach alav z'chavim. Amalei says Sif the Torah. It says in the Torah, Shema Yisrael Hashem Makin Hashem Echad. I don't have a right to bow down to Abba Tzachacham. Avku v'kadu. Asiyu l'idach they brought the sixth. Amalei plach alav z'chavim. Amalei says Sif the Torah. Yadat ha'im Hashem Yisrael Elohecha. Ki Hashem will akim Hashemayim and Rav Elohecha. I say no, I can't bow down to Abba Tzachacham. Avkuv kadus, so they kill six boys in a row, the children of one mother. Asil Yidach, now they bring the seventh child. Amr Lehi Plach Abbas Kechav, they count the bell down. Amr Lehi Sibitara Ab, Es Hashem Amarta Ayom, Hashem Amirich Ayom, Kvar Nishbana Lach Nishbara Vashayin Anam Avir Nosa Be'el Acher. We are never going to trade Rebam Shalom in for anybody else. Lahaf of Nishba Lana, the Rebam Shalom promised us, Shayin Ma'avir Son of Uma Acheres, but you will never trade us in for anybody else either. Amr Lehi Kesar, so the Caesar sees that six brothers have just been killed, so he says, you know what, I'll have some rachmanis on you, you don't have to actually bow down to the Avodah Zarah. Ishtidach Kishpanka, you know what, I'll throw my ring on the floor of a gachin, and you'll just bend down and pick up my ring. This way it won't be really considered like you're bowing down to Avodah Zarah, it's just a fake. V'shachle, and pick it up, k'hechad yalem, v'kabal le'yaham of the mouth, in order that it should look as if you listen to the decree of the king that you have to bow down to the Avodah Zarah, even though we all know that you're not really bowing down. Amalei, chaval alav kesar, chaval alav kesar, al kavod atz pakach, you're so worried about your own kavod, al kavod atz pakach, imagine how much we care about the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we would never allow ourselves to bow down to anything else other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Who the mitzvah, so now they were taking out the seventh son to be killed. Amr Lehu Imei, so the mother gets up and she says, Yavuni Nihalei, let me just have my last child, my seventh son, Va'anashki Porta, let me just give him a hug and a kiss. Amr Lehu, and she says, Bani, so she pleads with him and she says, when you die, Lehu Be'il Avram Avichem, go tell Avram Avinu, Atta Akadikam Mizbeach Echad. You, Avram Avinu, only were makir one son Yitzchak on the Mizbeach, Ani Akadiki Shiva Mizbechos, and I just gave up seven karbanos, a lot more than Avraham Avinu himself did. I gave up seven of my children in a row, all for the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we shouldn't bow down to the Avodah Zarah. After also the God, after this happened and her seventh son was killed, she also went up to the roof, the Nafla Umeisa, and she jumped off the roof and died. Yatsis HaBasko Ba'amra, and the Basko came in and said, Eim HaBan Usmecha, there can never be a person who's more proud, there can never be a mother who'd be more proud of her children than this mother should be for the acts of courage that her children did, the Kvod Shem Shamayim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar Zuvila Shemitah Mishmini. This pasuk is talking about which pasuk is that? Ki alecha ragu kalayom. The pasuk we said a few lines, probably 20 lines earlier. Ki alecha ragu kalayom is talking about the mila that we do it on the Yom Hashmini, even though it's dangerous and it's scary, and women are afraid sometimes that the child might document, and we're all afraid. Sometimes there is concerns. Still, we say ki alecha ragu kalayom. We're willing to risk it because we love the mitzvahs of the Rebbe Shalom. Shimon Lakishamar, Hele Tamarich Ham Shemar Lachos Shmitan Asma. This is talking about Tamarich Ham that they check the knives and they do it on their own. They when they teach the students the Hilcha Shchita, they do it on their own necks and they're not concerned that they're going to kill themselves. The Amar Rava Kamili Litzah Yenish Ben Avshay Bar Shchita. A person should try everything else. When he wants to teach the students how to put on tefillin, he should put tefillin on. A person wants to teach how to put on tzitzis, put on tzitzis. But when he's teaching the students how to do a shchita, obviously the smartest thing to do is not to test it on your own Now, don't try this at home. This pasuk is referring to the Talmidei Chachamim who killed themselves to learn Torah to be masmidim. Divrei Torah only mekuyim by a person who actually puts himself so into it that he's ready to almost faint from it. Shenemar, there were 40 saw of boxes of tefillin that were found on the heads of Arugia Beta. Red, Yana, Rabbi Shmuel, Amos, Shalosh, Kupla, Shalosh, Baram, Abraham saw. There weren't just 40 saw, there were 3 boxes, and each one held Abraham saw boxes of tefillin. Masvita, Tan, Abraham, Kupla, Shalosh, Shalosh, bottom line, there were a lot of tefillin. Basically, the Gemara is trying to tell us there were so many people killed in Beta that there were so many tefillin, so many pairs of tefillin left over afterward. Lopligi, Hadarisha, Hadadari. One is talking about the Shalosh, one is talking about the Shalyan. Amra, Basi, Abra, Kalim, Moach. There were 4 kav of brains. It's a little bit gruesome, but the Gemara tells us that's how much blood was spilled. Nibto, the Menachas, there was 40 kavan of brains that were found on one stone in the city of Beit Yar. Ula, Amra, Tishas, Kavan, Amra, Kavan, Yitim, Roshila, Mari, Mikro, what is the Pasik? Say that tells us that this the nevuah that this is going to happen. Bas Baba Ashtuda Ashrei Sheyishalom Lach Ashrei Sheyochas Benipetz Es Olalayet Al Hasela. Over here we have a situation where we found many body parts on one rock, and that is in fact what the pasuk is referring to here. Then we go on to another pasuk. Bnei Tzion Hayi Karmam Sulam Bepaz. My Sulam Bepaz. What does it mean that they're beautiful? Bepaz. Ilei Lo Dehatimach Bepiza. If it means that they're covered with diamonds and with jewelry, Damar Rahamri Dvarim Shila Karti Miskli. History Pisa, Nafas Ba'amu, there were 2 measurements of jewelry that were put into the world. Chalad Berobi, one was put in Rome, Chalad Kuliyama, and one was put in the rest of the world. So how can you say that Klal Yisrael is considered the ones who have so much jewelry? Halad Shoyim Meganin Esapaz Riyofi. It means Klal Yisrael was so beautiful, the children that were born were so cute and so beautiful that they made the jewelry look cheap because they were so much more beautiful than the jewelry itself. Meikar Hashivi Deramai, Harinakti Bil Yonah Dibishpanko, Meshamshi Yisayu. When the Tashra people in Rome used to have Tashra Shamita, so the Gemara tells us in different places that when a person looks at something before he has Tashra, that's what the children are going to look like. So in the old days, the Tashra people in Rome used to put beautiful jewelry, beautiful rings around their bed, and this way they wanted the children to be beautiful as a result of looking at their rings. But once they saw how beautiful the Jewish people were, Ma'isuk and Yisrael, they used to take Jewish children down Arsri, Bikari, Gepuru, Mashamshi, to tie them onto the legs of the bed, in order that they should look at them at the time of Tashmish and they should have as beautiful children as the Jewish children were. Amalei Chada Chavrei once said to his friend, Ha'echad Tzivot, where does it say this in the Pasuk that we're going to have such a terrible thing? Amalei Gam Chokholi Lechamakar Shalom Tziv, the Sefer HaKarazos. Amar Kamim Rechakino, we took the plan, how far are we from there? Amalei In Yipusta Upalga. So he says it's a certain distance away. Amalei Imatar de Gabar Le Tzrihala. If I would have gotten to that pasuk, if I was that distance away from that pasuk, I wouldn't have needed it because I just would have looked a little farther in the pasuk and I would have found it. Amar Rabbeinu Amashmul Mishimur Shemay Nabil. My answer was, I mean, Eni Olo Lenafshin Kalbanos Iri. Abba Beis Batim Nisiyas Hayibah Kraf Beitar. There were 400 shuls in the city of Beitar. B'chalachas Ha'achas Hayibah Abba Beis Malam Nitinokos. Every single one of those 400 shuls had 400 cheder rabbeim teaching. B'chalachas Ha'achas Hayibah Abba Beis. Each one of those rabbeim, each one of those 400 rabbeim, and each one of the 400 shuls had 400 children learning by them. Oyev nichnas l'shem, when the enemy used to come in, Hayidokan or Samuel Kudrea, the children would fight back and they would hit them with their sticks. And Shibarbar Oyev, finally, after many attempts, when the enemy apparently won them over, Velachdom, and they actually conquered them, Harkum, the Sifrei, and the Tisimayish. They wrapped them up in the Sifrei Torah, and they burnt all the children and the Malamdim. Kana Rabban Amayis, Rabbi Shimon Hananish, Allah, the Kram, Kabla Shabir Rome. He went to this town in Rome, into a big city. Amr Lotinim, Echad Yeshu Yisrael Sir. So he told me, Yeshua and Hanani, there's a terrible story. There's a child who's locked up in a jail. Yafar Nain is a beautiful kid, the Tobroi, and he's very handsome. The Kutsos is Duras, but Tafalim, he has beautiful curly hair. Amr Bahalach, Apesach, Yisrael Sir, so Yeshua and Hanani, stands next to the opening of the jail and says, Yitain and Shisha Yaakov Yisrael opposes him. How could it be that our beautiful children, who are so handsome, are set up in the jail here and they can't get out? Amar Osatino says, the child responds to him, Amar Halo, Hashem Zukhatana Velo, Avu Bidracha Velo, Velo Shem Bisarasa. The reason why we're being punished is because we didn't listen to that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do. So he says, that's why I'm in jail. So Rabbi Shimon Hanani says, imagine if such a small kid who could be so mature and understand that this is the reason why he's being punished. So imagine, he says, this child will for sure be a Mara Rabbi Yisrael. I promise you, Amy doesn't count. Rabbi Shimon Hanani says, I'm not leaving this entrance to the jail until I put up the ransom money, whatever the non-Jewish people say they want for his coming out of jail, I will put it up. Rabbi Shimon Hanani paid a ton of money to get this young child. So the Gemara tells us that this individual child turned out to be later on in his life Rabbi Shimon ben Elisha. There was a son and daughter of Rabbi Shimon ben Elisha, and this son and daughter were both captured by two different masters, non-Jewish masters. The Yalim, after many days, is Davish named the Makam Echad. The two masters met up together in the market. Zehav, one of them said to his friend, Yishli Evet, Shein Kiyofi B'Chalolam. One of them said, I have a man who I captured, who was my servant, and he is the most handsome guy in the world. Zehav, and one, the other one said that, Yishli Shikha, I have a servant who's a woman, Shein B'Chalolam Kula Kiyofi, and there's no one as beautiful as she is. So they made up amongst each other, meaning not knowing that this was a brother and sister. So they said, why don't we put them together in a room? When a chalak b'vlados, and we'll be able to have children from this marriage, from this unity, and the children will be the most handsome children in the world, we'll be able to sell them for a lot of money. So why don't we do that? And a chalak b'vlados will split the money that we make for the children that we sell. So they put the couple into a room. This one stood in his corner, and this one stood in her corner. They wouldn't get near each other. They couldn't see. The lights were off. And they didn't realize that they were brother and sister. They were both the children of Rabbi Shimon ben Elisha. One says to the other, how could it be that the Rabbi Shimon put me in a situation? I'm a son of a Kohen Gadol. As a Shifcha, I'm going to go and sleep with a Shifcha. How degrading, how terrible. It was also nervous that she was crying the same thing. Ani Kohenes, from such hush of a lineage, and not say the Eved, and I am going to go ahead and marry just a lowly Eved, Ubacha Kalalaila, and both of them cried the whole night, Kim Chalam and Ashachar. Once it came light outside, and they were able to see each other, and Kim Uzerazeh, they saw that they were brother and sister, Benachu Zalzeh, and they cried, Begal, Bechi, and they cried such bitter tears, at Shiyatsu, Mishmatsam, until they lost their lives, because they were so overcome with emotion, Alei, and Kohen Yirmiyahu, and on that, Yirmiyahu says, Al-Eila, Mibachia, Eni, Yarda, Mai. It's talking about two different eyes, because one was the eyes of the man, one was the eyes of the woman. Here we go, home stretch. Amar Yishlak is nice to each other, because there was a story with a woman, Tzapnas Bas Paniel Shma. Her name was Tzapnas Bas Paniel. Why was her name Tzapnas? Tzapnas Shah called Tzapnas Yafya. She was so beautiful, everybody would stare at her. Paniel, why was her name Paniel? Bito Shah Kohen Gadol, Shashine Shah Lefnai Lefnim, because she was the daughter of a Kohen Gadol who did the Avodah Lefnai Lefnim inside the Beis HaMikdash. Shinesalba Shavai. So one day they had this beautiful woman, and people captured her and started up with her Kamalayla. They were living with her the whole night. Macha, the next day, Obisha Shiva Chalukim, she put on seven layers of clothing, and they put her into these wraps of clothing, Yotzia, and they took her out of the locker to take her out and sell her in the marketplace. God, the method, so a man comes along, Shalim Mufur, Biyoser. He was such an ugly person. He was not good looking at all. Amarlo, so he says, well, I'm interested in buying this woman. I want to marry her. Haredi Yotzia, new, show off the goods. Let me see how beautiful she is. Amarlo, so he says, back to this not good looking man, Reka, Imata Rotzavika, Kach, if you trust us that you really want the woman and you trust us that she's beautiful, new, so go take her home. Trust us, there's nobody as beautiful as she is. I still want to see how beautiful she is. If she does, she shall. So they stripped her of the six layers of clothing, with Shvi, Karasan, and the seventh one that was touching her body, she ripped it off, and as Talsha Barber, she went and rolled herself in the dust to make herself look ugly and disgusting. Don't have rachmanis just because of me personally. Why are you not at least having rachmanis on your kavod? This is you. People are going to say that the Rebbeinu Shalom's children are being thrown around the streets. They're being bought in the market. They're being started up with, and nobody cares. This area said the nevuah bas ami chiki sak. His palshiva arba, they rolled around in the dust. Evo yachad asidach, mispat tamrum, ki pisam yaba hashodit aleinu, alecha lo nemar ela aleinu, kaviyacho alayva alecha palshodit. It's not only that we have this suffering, it's not only that Baal Yisrael suffers, it's also that the Rebbeinu Shalom has a terrible thing his way, because Klal Yisrael looks so terrible in the eyes of the nations of the world. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Ma'adav said, what does it mean? Ma'ashu Geber Beiso Be'ish Nachalasa. Ma'isa Ma'adav Ma'afash Nosa Leina Be'ish Nesravo B'shuy Ben Avri Havi. Here's the Gemara we quoted on Shabbos, that there was a person who put his eyes, there was a person who coveted the wife of his master. Pound Achas one time puts a Chabalabos. One time his master needed to borrow some money. Amar Lo Shkar Ish Lefadzli. You know what? Send your wife to me and pick up the money. Galvena, and I will lend her the money. Shikar Ishto Etzlo. So he sends his wife to the apprentice. Sha'i Moshoshi Yamin. So he, the woman, the Farshan already pointed out, so what exactly happened? Did the woman consent to stay? She didn't consent to stay. It seems that she agreed to stay on her own. Kalabu Etzlo. So now the master comes back to pick up his wife. It's been 3 days already, he can't understand where his wife might be. Amalo Ishti Shashagati Macha Hechabi. I sent you my wife 3 days ago to pick up the money that I need to borrow. What happened to her? Amalo, so he says, I let her go right away. Shemati Shashinov Sisalubamadara. I heard that there are men. She's hanging around with other men. Amalo Ma'ezza, what should I do? Amalo, Ima Toshamea Letzasi, if you listen to me, be smart about it. Girsha, if I were you, I would divorce her. Amarlo Ksubasa Maruba, so he says, hey, yeah, you're right, you really should divorce her, she's doing things that aren't proper. Problem is that her psuba is too expensive, I can't afford it. Amarlo, so he says, you know what, Ani Aldacha, I will lend you the money to pay off her psuba. Meanwhile, all this was a setup because he just wanted to keep the woman, he had her hidden in the closet, he just wanted to marry her, so he wanted to figure out a way how he could get the master to divorce his wife. Amon Zevakirsha, so he lends him the money, and now the master divorces his wife. Halakhu Benasa, next day he goes ahead and he marries her. This is what he wanted for so many years. He always coveted the wife of his master, and here he has her. Kimshi Giazmana Velogiayala the Paro, so now it comes time a month later to pay back the money that he borrowed from his apprentice, and he doesn't have the money. Amalo, Baba Say Imi Bechoba. So he tells him, and tells his master, I want you to come ahead and work for me. I want you to come ahead and pay off your debt. Mahayu Hain Yoshima Oakland, and here he was, the apprentice was sitting there eating and drinking and having a great time with his new wife. He shows him Mahu Hayya Omi to Mashkaya, and he was serving there as a butler to his apprentice and to his new wife, which was really his own wife. What a terrible story. And there were tears dripping down his eyes, dripping down his cheeks, and nopos, because of Sayyam, and they were dripping into the cups that he was serving to the apprentice and his wife. And at that time, on this terrible story, the exarchin was made by Amilal, Shtay Psilas Benarachim, and some say, for a different reason, but over here, the Pasha Shan the Gemara is that the whole decision to destroy the Beis Hamikdash and Klal Yisrael came because of this terrible story. The Yavetz points out here, as we said on Shabbos, that really, if you look in between the lines, it seems that he didn't do anything. You can't really pinpoint any issue that he actually did here. The Yavetz says, he didn't touch an unmarried woman. He didn't really lock her away in the closet. She consented to do it. Everything was okay. Everything was kedushin din. But he says that sometimes we have situations where people do things that are not within the confines of the Da'at Chol Shulchan Aruch. We won't find any issur that's in direct violation of what the person is doing, but this is worse in front of the eyes of Rabbi Shmuel than anything else. Why? Because he's not acting in ways of yashrus. He's acting in crooked ways. And in fact, the Nitziv writes in his pirush on the Havdamah to Chumash, the Nitziv points out that it says that the generation, the Nitziv writes that he knows this from somewhere, that the generation of the Bayis Sheni, of the Churban, was a dark Yikesh of Psalchal. They were crooked. They were tzaddikim, they were chassidim, but their mindset was crooked. They were not yisharim. And he says that's why the Rebbeinu Shlom has no patience for such people at all, because the Rebbeinu Shlom is referred to as the Tzaddik Yashar. He is the straight one. If there's a community that doesn't act straight and honest, there's a community that thinks in warped and crooked ways, the Rebbeinu Shlom has absolutely no patience whatsoever. So on this, the Gemara says this is why the Churban actually happened, and the Yavetz says it's because they were not Yashar.